The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
It's a Catalina freaking wine mixer.
Okay. Ah! Are you saying pow? What are you saying?
This is PFW in Progress.
Where did he go to medical school?
He went to Northwestern and Johns Hopkins. Is that good enough for you?
No, it's not.
Well, those are very prestigious schools.
I smoked pot with Johnny Hopkins.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, listen to me, you crazy old man. You keep your liver spotted hands off my beautiful mother. She's a saint.
Paul Perillo.
You understand?
Don't go in there.
Don't touch it!
All right.
There. I was at about 6 there. You don't want to see me go to 10.
And Andy.
Suppose Nancy sees me coming out of the shower. I'm looking good. Got a luscious V of hair going from my chest pubes down to my ball throw. And she takes one look at me and she goes, oh my God. I've had the old bull. Now I want the young calf. And she grabs me by the wiener.
Shut the heck up!
Andy Hart.
Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I really need a job. And I will take any position, as long as it doesn't involve having sex with old ladies for money.
The MILF convention here in Indy.
Eric Scalavino.
Long time no see. Is that your boyfriend? Is that your butt buddy? Does butt buddy have a name?
If you're referring to me as butt buddy, yes, I do have a name.
For now, anyway.
Let's play a game.
Favorite non-pornographic magazine to masturbate to?
Good Housekeeping.
If you were a chick, who's the one guy you'd sleep with?
John Stamos.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
PFW in Progress.
Okay, here's a shot out of a cannon. Oprah, Barbara Walters, your wife. You gotta found one, marry one, kill one. Go.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm gonna put my nuts hat on your drum set, okay? I swear to God.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. We're getting ready for the Buffalo Bills. And finally, we have an end to this ref situation. So, according to reports, starting tonight, we'll see the real guys reffing the game, the Baltimore game with Cleveland, I guess they're playing. That's tonight. So, good stuff. Great to have the refs back. Thank goodness. Everyone has a new appreciation for what these guys do. Well, not everyone, but most people have a new appreciation for what these guys do on a weekly basis.
All sane people. All normal.
All the lemmings.
Yeah.
There's only one non-lemming in the world.
But speaking of that, I got to start the show.
I'm not unhappy they're back, by the way.
I got to start the show off with a story.
Oh, good story.
From yesterday. You know, if you are a subscriber or buyer of PFW, and if you're not, why the hell aren't you? 1-800-494-PATS. You know that this cover, this issue was, are you reffing kidding me? And a lot of people love the cover. It was a good cover, but, you know, maybe a little edgy. I don't know. I didn't think so. But I get back to my office yesterday after radio, and there's a FedEx on my desk from Ray Anderson at the NFL headquarters. So I opened this thing up, and apparently, according to the letter, I was being fined $5,000, and the team was being fined $10,000 for the cover and, you know, hurting the negotiations and all that.
Making a mockery of the league.
Mockery.
Yeah,
the terminology that was used.
Right. Now, so Paul's there, Andy's there, and we're like, holy crap.
I immediately printed out my resume.
I'm not paying this. And literally, I was about to pick up the phone and call Ray Anderson saying, what the hell is this? But it turns out the whole thing was a joke.
Perpetrated by
Brian Morey.
Another reason to hate him.
The executive director of the Hall at Patriot Place,
which is apparently closed this week because he had hours upon hours to get this done.
He finally comes up there after, after everyone had a good laugh about it. I'm like, you know, is the hall closed this week?
But not just finally. You went to a meeting right afterwards.
Right.
And he comes to my cube like, so, you know, anything going on today? Anything happening? Clearly digging, trying to find out where it was in the process. Like, so he spent the whole afternoon waiting for you to come back, waiting to find out. And then once he left our area, after you guys were all laughing, oh, it's a big fun, I hear him telling the story in PR. Then I heard him down another hallway telling the story. Like, he made the rounds congratulating himself. And it was great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it was well done. The FedEx envelope had the, authentic label from, because we doubted it a little. Like, could this be true? When we looked at, wow, you know, it's from the right address, and the letterhead looks good.
And the details, yeah. Like, it had a specific name for you to write the check out to at the league office,
right.
Or file your appeal by
right.
a certain date. And I'm like, Paul and I are like, well, here's your appeal. You can do this and this. And we're like formulating your appeal.
We were formulating defense.
Oh, yeah.
I did not doubt it for a second. I was totally taken by the by the hoax.
I mean, even though I thought it was real, I knew I would never have to pay it.
Well, yeah, you kept saying that, but I kept thinking you're going to pay it or you're not going to be working here anymore.
Yeah, but the fact is we are not employees of the team.
Right.
You know, that is a fact. And if it were not a fact, we would be open to some benefits that we don't get.
Correct.
You know, so I would have gladly written that $5,000 check in exchange for those benefits.
Now, be honest, though, when you laughed, you had some sort of, I'm not paying it or something.
Right.
That was like an uncomfortable type laugh, right? That
wasn't really a...
Yeah, because you weren't really selling Andy and I on
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
No, okay, it's not that big a deal.
I never had...
Laughing.
The biggest fear I had was, it wasn't a fear, but concern. No, but concern was, you know, the team had to pay $10,000 too. And you don't want to get in trouble with your own boss. I didn't care about the NFL. I could care less. You know,
stop. On the
why don't you pump
levels.
Those brakes a little?
But you know, as far
Ray Anderson on line one.
But as far as being in trouble with them having to pay $5,000, what I cared about is my standing, like you said, Paul, in my job.
Right, with the crafts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was good.
It was a great hoax. Good job by Brian, and he evidently ran it by some important people.
Yeah.
To try to cover his own, just
right.
in case you flipped out.
And I think that's why you think maybe he had some help, so he had some. The official terminology
right.
that he could
right.
use, and
right.
Was well done.
No,
well
he had a lot of people involved in this, you know, in order to make it look authentic. But had I picked up the phone to Ray Anderson, that could have opened up another can of worms.
And that could
and
have
I was
happened.
Very close
right.
to doing that.
Because we went about, I'd say a good 15, 20 minutes, not knowing, and then somebody told us.
Right.
You before know, kinda, it spread, which I think was a good call.
I think it was very wise. The person that did that made a very good decision, because I think you could have picked up the phone, and even not like angrily, but you know, you pick up a phone and you leave a voicemail
right.
for Ray Anderson, and like,
he's
what
like,
the
what
hell's
the...
going on
right.
in New England, you know?
Right.
And then, you know, if it gets out, you know, people are like, well, what the hell are they doing? What's...
Right.
Or the league hadn't seen the cover yet, so then Ray Anderson goes and sees the cover.
Yeah.
They're 1-2 and they're playing practical jokes.
Right.
And,
you know, blaming it all on the refs.
Right.
What's going on?
You know
right.
who should really be mad? Raytheon. Is that hall that they're presenting? Their director is playing practical jokes.
Evidently is lying dormant.
Right.
But you guys are like, you know, what if it gets out there? And I was actually, let's get it out there.
He was
because,
back to the old, any publicity is good publicity.
Well, that's a badge of honor to, you know, to be that on the edge where the league finds you. You know, I think you're right, readers.
What are you, James Harrison? It's a badge of honor when I get fined.
He had a setback.
It's street cred. It's street cred.
Yeah.
Still $5,000. I can tell
cred.
You're rich. Now I know for sure you're rich if you can write a $5,000 check.
He said flat out he wasn't paying it.
Right. Right.
What if Jonathan or Mr. Kraft had said, you're paying it?
I would then there would be problems. No, there would be.
You'd have to take back your Lexus.
And Fred would
maybe
no.
just get a Corolla.
There would be
would
problems
say, no,
for everybody.
No, you're paying.
What
it.
Does that mean? Are you threatening people?
Well, I would like.
That's I told you.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that they would make me pay that. There's no way. It just wouldn't be fair. You know,
there's a lot of things that aren't fair in this world.
Well, I would fight that. But anyway, it was all a big joke, and it was a good one. A good
tremendous.
Joke.
Yeah. And the post-joke laughter in the office, Paul wasn't here for that.
I
but
missed
like,
it.
It was like this big party. Everybody was just roaring at
and,
how
and
funny
the Brian Morey tries to hug me, and I'm like, because, you know, A, I don't want to hug him, and then B, I have stitches in my stomach. I don't need...
So you're going to get him back, right?
I'm not really. You know, I'm not... That's not like I'm you know... My
I'm
number
not
one thing is to get even
because he
him.
Claims this was fueled by 12 years ago you did something to him.
Oh, I don't know. Who knows?
Oh, I remember Bob Doyle did a good one. Bob Doyle and I believe Dave Crisoli teamed up to do a very good one on Brian, where, long story short, Bob Doyle could do great impersonations. He could imitate anybody's voice. And at the time, Fernando Clavijo was the Revolution's head coach.
Right.
Fernando Clavijo, remember?
Right.
And Bob could do a dead-on impersonation. So he calls Brian, leaves him a long, detailed voice message that he just got out of a meeting with Robert and Jonathan, and that we were going to be starting Revolution Soccer Weekly, and Brian was going to have to do it. And it was just deadpan perfect done by Bob. Bob still works here. He works in KSP. And Brian absolutely bought it. Now, this is at the time when we were in the old Foxborough right. racetrack. Right. So we kind of had one big room with everybody in it. And Bob is behind, like in his little cubicle, just like peeing himself laughing as Brian's listening to this. And Brian, you could see, Brian's a lot like me. Like you could see like the, you know, the boiling point is going. You could actually see his head getting red as he was about to go from zero to hot.
He was about to quit.
And yeah, oh yeah, no, he had decided, I'm not doing this. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit. And he slams down the phone, starts throwing stuff around, and Bob and Dave just couldn't hold it in anymore, and they just started laughing. But yeah. That had nothing to do with you as far as I know.
No, I think the one he used to, I mean, it wasn't really a practical joke, but we were filming a commercial for the newspaper once. This is back when we actually promoted it. and the commercial was like, I had all the guys dress up in uniforms with pads, helmets, everything. And then like we threw the newspaper like it was a fumble and they all jumped on it like everybody wants PFW. Mm-hmm. So while we're standing around and like working it out, these guys are standing in uniform and pads. I didn't have pads. I just took a running start and just blindsided Brian. I mean, just like nailed him, you know, and put him to the ground. You know, and I felt it was okay because he had pads on. I didn't. And
still not okay. He didn't know his head, quote, had to be on a swivel while he was shooting a TV commercial.
I just nailed him.
And he was okay with it, though, because you have football pads on. You
gotta no. When you're in a game, your head needs to be on a swivel. Not when you're filming a TV commercial. There's a difference, Paul.
Oh, yeah. It was like Brian Urlacher.
Although, with your fat shoulders, it's kind of like pads.
Right, so.
Yeah,
right.
But that was a long time ago. The shoulders weren't that
right.
fat.
Yeah, we were all younger then. So that might have been what he was talking about 12 years ago or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he claimed it something. I get you back for 12 years ago.
If that's
very
only...
well done, though.
All right, so let's get to news.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? Hernandez or Brady?
Good news or bad news?
Let's start with Hernandez.
Good news first.
Remember how we said he's a fast healer? He proved that last year. And then we kind of doubted it when he was in the locker room on a cart, in a boot, and with crutches? I'm back to he's a fast healer because he's walking across the locker room. There's no cart near his locker. There's no boot on his feet. There's no crutches. And he's walking with, I would say,
almost
minimal limp. It's a strut slash limp, but miraculous in
words
terms of
what
we
saw.
Words
can't even describe the difference between the way he walked last week and today. Hmm.
So now, I'm feeling good about him being a fast healer again.
Okay.
And it was funny. He walked, we were talking about it. It was kind of the talk of the locker room for about 10 minutes. He had walked back and forth from the training room a couple of times. And then he walked over toward where Andy and I were standing, and he basically is walking right toward me. And I go, "You're looking like you're going to play this week." And he goes, "Oh,
yeah." He
you
had
know,
like
this cat.
Maybe
you know.
I could, or maybe I couldn't.
Now, and I'm not saying that he's going to play. I don't think he has a chance to play this week. But the way he was walking, if he's out 6 weeks, I'm going to be very, very surprised. I don't think he'll be out that
but
long.
But we've been down that road before. Patrick Chung.
Patrick Chung was jumping up and down.
That's the first guy I think about when we now do this is Patrick Chung.
But I'm just using Hernandez's own history with the knee last year and the surprise return.
And that's part of it.
Now with what we've seen from him, I won't be surprised as you know that he's much sooner than people think.
Yeah, I mean, now he wasn't cutting or anything. So
he was just walking straight. He didn't even have shoes on. Yeah,
but last week he asked – Rob, could you please go in the training room and get my boot?
Right.
Like, he couldn't walk
You've
across.
Had sprained ankles before.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes when you're straight on it, it's okay. The moment you do any left, right,
question.
You feel the twinge.
Yeah, that's why I say I don't think there's any chance he's playing Sunday.
But I'm
I don't
just
want
talking
to make
about
it out to be that way.
If he looked 100% hurt last week, well, now he looks like 30%. I mean, there was like this huge percentage of getting
and before he looked like he was post-surgery last week.
Yeah,
that's how gingerly he walked.
And before we get to Brady, I want to ask a question. I kind of asked it last week. How much of is it transition for this offense with Hernandez and without him? I mean, is it
significant?
Yeah. So like
they dropped from a two tight end team to a one tight end team in their personnel. Now some of that maybe was
so
game
is it
plan
easy
related,
to do
but...
that? What I'm saying is like let's just say you know he came back this week. Is that a switch you have to flip? Okay, now we're doing the other thing again, you know?
Oh, I don't think
it's hard on the offense.
I don't think it's that hard on the personnel they have.
No,
I mean, they were fortunate that Deion Branch was the guy they could bring in and be ready to go.
Yeah, and I think the base that they want to do involves the two of them.
Right.
So I think it's easier to go back to Hernandez than it was last week, I think.
Right.
And obviously, last week worked out okay because the offense performed very well.
Yeah. So now Brady.
Brady. As I'm sure all listeners know, popped up on the injury report yesterday, limited right shoulder which got that whole flurry of last time he was on there and for how long he was on there. It was the running joke forever. But in addition to that, I'm not sure a lot of people know, and I retweeted it yesterday. Mike Rodak reported on ESPN Boston that Tom Brady left practice shortly after the media left practice yesterday.
Right.
I'm not blowing that up, but to me, that's something that I would like the Globe and the Herald to be digging into. That's not the same as he's on the injury report. Ha, 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 he's on the injury report again. If he left the practice field and for whatever portion of time, Ryan Mallett was the only quarterback on the practice field, to me, that's a little newsworthy, noteworthy. Now, he may have, you know, I was joking with somebody in the locker room, he may have had to poop.
Right.
You know, I watched him in training camp. He went into the stall for a good 20 minutes. He takes long poops, and he might have wanted to get comfortable.
Okay.
What? Yeah. When I'm out there, I watch everything. I
know,
try to take in everything.
But I don't think we can make declarative statements on the length of his bowel movements based on one sighting.
Right. I joked at that time he had Mexican probably the night before.
Right.
But my point is he could have had to poop, or he could have been going to get treatment, or his wife could have had a dog. But it's a story.
Right.
People treated it like it was kind of a joke that, oh, he's back to the usual spot, right shoulder.
Right.
And to me, that one sentence from Mike Rodak, Brady left the practice field shortly after the media did, adds a whole different layer to the story. Even if it's nothing, it adds a layer.
Sure.
So,
and why was he the only one to know that?
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. That's a question that I think the Globe and the Herald and their sources and their need to be digging into.
And that's why what Andy brings up, it could have been for any reason, because I think it's interesting that one outlet
Here's why I ask that. If he left in a time where they knew the media could see him leave, it's different if, in my mind, he left when a time when they didn't think any of the media could see it.
I don't think anybody
There's
in the
a
media
big difference
saw it.
I don't think anybody in the media saw it.
Okay, so that's...
Because I think there would be... And this is
other
just
reports.
Speculation. I can't imagine that the media saw it and only one guy noticed
it. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Or decided it was important enough to report.
Oh, I mean, anybody would have said it was important enough to report.
Who wouldn't
Come
report
on.
That?
I'm just throwing it out there.
I criticize the media as much as anyone.
As far as we know, once the media leaves, a lot of guys don't do things that we think they're doing, or guys do things that we don't. You know what I'm saying?
But
you know,
there's a lot to leave the field.
There's a lot that goes on after the media leaves.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. That's why I don't think it was something that was at a time when the media could see it.
Right.
I think that this is reporting.
So it was meant not to be seen.
Yes, that would be my guess.
That's what I'm getting.
And I also don't think it was like any sort of planned rest.
Right.
Because I just think it's not.
Why would you even come out?
And
you
know, at 1-2 when it's focused on one game and turning this around
on a Wednesday, especially.
You know, by the letter of the rules, they want to make sure that on that injury report it says limited rather than did not practice.
Well,
you know, if he doesn't come out, then he didn't practice.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. So there is something to it.
I'm just amazed that it was reported by what I deem a major media outlet, ESPNBoston.com, on their blog. Not by Mike Reese, but by Mike Rodak. So maybe that changes something. I don't know.
Yeah, but knowing
he tweeted about it.
It goes through the same editorial process.
I retweeted it, and yet it really didn't. There was no footing. It didn't. There was nothing there. And I'm not saying there's a major story there. I just think it needs to be looked into.
Well, this is the whole, you know, based on history, people have been conditioned not to really worry about it when he comes up with that shoulder.
Right. But then when he's not on the practice field.
Right.
To me, if Tom Brady does almost anything, it's borderline news. And then when that's leaving the practice field for a 1-2 football team heading on the road to take on the Bills, they only have one quarter. To me, there's a story there.
Yeah, and for all we know, all those years that he was on the practice report for the same thing, he could have left on Wednesdays too.
Yep.
We don't know. Judging by his press conference yesterday, I'd say that he's playing.
Oh, I'd be stunned if he didn't.
Oh,
that's not my
–
I'm not trying to brew up a controversy that he's not going to play.
No.
Yeah. My question is just – why was he leaving? Maybe that's the story, but I would think the Globe and Herald might have sources that could say, well, that's actually what he would do for years on Wednesday when he was limited. He would do X.
Right.
Just something. Give me a little something more that I can delve into.
I think all those things that you brought up, Freddie, are all possibilities. My feeling is that this isn't similar to the reason he was on the injury report in the past, because he hasn't been on in so long for that.
Right.
But you could re-injure whatever it was.
Absolutely. That's why Freddie's thing is
shoulder tendonitis or something, anything.
And
whatever.
For all we know, he left practice early a lot of days that we didn't know about, and we just happen to know about this one.
And then someone else said to me, well, you know, I'm sure it's not a big deal. Otherwise, wouldn't you think there'd be another quarterback at least on the practice squad brought in? And my response to that was, well, Brian Hoyer, by all accounts, is like working out around here with Sammy Morris and Kevin Falk and all these guys. So you sort of have him ready to go. He's only been out of the system for 3 weeks now. So you kind of do have a third quarter.
You don't have to raise alarms by bringing him in yet.
Right. Because you do that combined with this, now all of a sudden you're kind of adding fuel to this little simmering fire.
Interesting. And one other item of somewhat note for the
when
Patriots.
When is she due, by the way? Like, when is baby?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's something we should probably monitor. Because if at some point he leaves in the middle of something, it could just because a fatherly thing.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know when the due date is. Have they officially said that they are expecting?
Oh, we saw pictures of her.
I know she is.
I don't know that they've released a statement saying I'm pregnant.
Right. I didn't know if they had. So, because usually when you do something like that, that's when you find out when the due date is. That's
but,
why
I mean, these
I'm
rumors
asking.
Go back to mid-spring or it's been a while that the, you know, I don't know where 9 months would fall in the whole.
Yeah, generally when they put
or 10,
you know, those,
as you
those celebrity couples, generally when they put out a statement saying, yes, they are expecting, you find out then when the due date is. Obviously, we know she's pregnant. We saw her with our own eyes at training camp.
Hot pink pants.
But the other thing, Patriots related, is Andre Carter signed with the Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed.
Saw that Shaliz Manzi-Young tweeted that out yesterday.
Very disappointed.
Yeah, but good for him. I mean,
yeah, I know, but sort of good for him. Yeah. I wanted him to come back here. I wanted him to have a little success, have a chance to win again. You're going to Oakland. Your career peters out in Oakland.
Yeah.
Peters out in Oakland.
Well, it does. I liked Andre Carter.
I did, too.
A, he was a nice guy, very professional, nice guy. B, he was good. And if he gets healthy, I would think he could, even at the end of the game, you know, when we bring in Trevor Scott the other day, I'd rather bring in Andre Carter. At the end of a game, whatever.
Do we owe the Raiders anything in draft picks in the future?
No.
We don't?
I don't think so.
For what?
For things that we did with them in the past.
For violations that we've had.
No, for trades that we did or anything. No? Do we owe anybody draft picks?
Well,
when was the last time we traded with Oakland?
We traded for, who's the guy we, Salas. We owe a late round 2015 draft pick, but that's already been sent. It's not like a.
Okay. I didn't know if it was
later.
Still
that wasn't a conditional pick.
I don't believe so. It wasn't reported as that. It was reported as a flat out late round pick.
Like, if you owed a team a conditional pick, could you make a deal with them? Say, look, we're going to sign this guy, but we won't do it. We'll let you sign him.
No, because my understanding of conditional picks is the conditions are written in legalese in the actual deal. So, I mean, I guess if both sides agreed to alter a deal, maybe. But I think the conditions aren't like. They're there. It's said guy plays this or makes team.
Right. No, I understand that.
So I don't think you can really alter the conditions, and I don't think that would be legal in terms of free. That smells like collusion or something to me.
Artie and Keen says it was mentioned on Dennis and Callahan this morning a couple weeks ago, and Brady accepted thanks about the baby and said he hoped it would be born on a Tuesday again like his last one, and that was sometime in December. What? No, it can't be.
The last one was
the
born.
The last one was
oh,
born
the last
in
one is in December.
I think he's right about
and
that.
And he needs it more than most because she's on Natural, right? So it's not like they can induce her.
No, they just fill up the bathtub.
Is that what they do?
Something like
if
that.
If she lays in a bathtub, it'll help it? Because I know she's a bathtub one.
Right.
But some people, like they were saying, Roethlisberger would have his induced or try to time it, you know, induce Sunday night so he has like 3 days to try to get back, whatever.
Right. So, all right. And so we mentioned the cover story. Paul writes in, what would be your cover, next cover if the refs blow a call on Sunday and the effect is the Bills upset the Patriots? I guess it would be bring back the other guys, right? I don't know. Something like
that would actually be good.
Yeah.
Right off the top of your head.
Sure.
Paul's eating now, apparently. But
as I stated on Tuesday, reiterated yesterday, and will say again today, there's no chance that the Patriots lose to the Bills on Sunday.
I agree.
Rest easy, Patriots Nation.
You are setting them.
Oh, I know.
Followers,
I'm
up
going
for,
out on a limb.
So you think,
and
Buffalo,
I don't always
just,
do this.
You think Buffalo is just horrible?
No, I don't.
So I don't want to hear you tell me all year that Buffalo is better than you think.
I do not think the Bills are horrible. I think the Patriots are good.
I do too.
And good enough where they're going to take it out on the Bills.
No, but my point is,
and they're clearly pissed.
You
clearly
don't
take
think
it out.
The other team has a chance to win the game,
right?
So you don't think Buffalo's good?
No, I think as opposed to other teams in the league, Buffalo's not bad.
All I want to say is that. When they win the game, I don't want to hear you saying, Buffalo's good.
No,
they're a good team now.
If they win the game,
you don't think they have a chance.
No, not because they're not good, because the Patriots are just going to come out roaring. I still think that the Bills
So you think no matter who they were playing, that the other team wouldn't have a chance?
I'd say 90% of the
teams.
Then
you don't think Buffalo is good.
No. I think that Buffalo
That's
is still.
And by the way, I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
I still think Buffalo's the number two team.
I just find a way to have an argument about anything.
I still think the Buffalo is the number two team in the AFC East, and I had them picked for a wild card. That's how much I think of Buffalo. But I think,
yeah, you think so much of them that they don't stand a chance on their home field.
I think this is a bad spot for any team to be in against the Patriots this week. You know, with the exception of, you know, a team that maybe has a good team. A really, really good defense like San Francisco, or, you know, there's very few teams that are going to be able to withstand the fury of the Patriots this weekend.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, except for the
but
Buffalo.
You're putting
except
words
for the
in my mouth.
Except for the Buffalo is good part. I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
I think they're good. I think so. That's why I'm not going to devalue it when the Patriots end up slaughtering them. It's going to be everything it should be in a great win is. It's not going to be, oh, it was a win, but it's the Bills. No, it was a great win.
You want your cake and eat it, too. You want it to be a devouring win. The other team doesn't have a chance. But then you want to say how great the other team is,
I don't
is
care
too.
If it was the Jets they were playing this year or this week or Miami.
Houston.
Houston, I might say a little different.
So Paul's right. If there were a good team on the other side of the ball, you'd feel differently.
I think Houston's one of the best teams in the league.
Oh, now we're differentiating good, best,
yes,
better.
We are. Yes, we are. There are different levels.
I actually agree with you because I think the bulk of this league, it's one of those bell curves. And the bulk of the league is Jags,
exactly.
Middle of the pack.
How about the Giants? No chance for the Giants in the Meadowlands
against
the Patriots?
They would kill the Giants.
Okay. So how about the Eagles at Philadelphia?
They would kill the Eagles.
How about
Packers?
Packers at Lambeau.
They would kill the Packers.
Okay.
Niners.
Minor.
So you think there's only two teams worthy of being in the conversation with the Patriots?
I have to look at it. Any team that I consider putting up a fight this week has to have one of the best defenses in the league.
I mean, I'll give you credit, but I just don't know how you can say that those teams are good if you think that they wouldn't have a chance to play at home against another team.
It's just an opinion.
I think he feels more about the league like I do. Like no, the Bills are fine. But any team this year could kind of get blown out. There's only a couple good teams.
It's like the discussion we overheard yesterday in the locker room of this authoritarian writer who, you know, before the season I knew they weren't going to be as good, you know. Well, this guy is laser fixed on the Patriots. He's not looking at the rest of the league. Of course the Patriots have flaws. But you have to stack that up against the competition. And that's why their flaws are certainly not going to keep them from being in the playoffs. Whereas other teams are. They're bigger flaws, and they don't have Brady and Belichick. You know? Makes a big difference. All right. Food's here. Oh, we can't do it right now because Kevin's pouring.
Standing a foot from you.
he almost had a heart attack.
Yeah, I agree with you again on that. My only disagreement again would be Buffalo's flaws are going to keep them from being a good team. The Patriots' flaws might keep them from being a number one seed.
Yeah.
That's why I think the Patriots were going to go
In my definition of good, it won't keep Buffalo from being that. It will keep them from, you know, being
right,
a
which
Super
is back
Bowl
to,
contender.
To good is relative to the crappy
what do you
league
think,
right.
What do you think they're going to finish with for a record, roughly? I mean, I'm not going to hold you to it, but
yeah, 9-7.
Okay,
maybe 10-6
if they're 10-6, then that's a good team. I agree with you.
All right. Can we take a break now, Kevin? He's nodding yes. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back, and we'll get right to your emails.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Duncan fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most. cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you have a hang-up?
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the way to email us. Sean writes in, he says, according to this website, the due date for Giselle is January. So that's what he's saying.
After the season, that's good.
Yeah. Wow. There's a shot.
That was not a shot. It was a joke.
Donald.
There's no chance of them not making the playoffs unless, of course, this right shoulder thing becomes a problem.
Donald says, and he's in Georgia, I love Patriots Radio. So after quite a while since my last subscription, I decided to get the paper again. I want to support the shows. Plus, the paper is great insight to the upcoming games. I just got a new issue in the mail yesterday afternoon. I can't wait to get into the Ravens preview. if you had an app for Android, I could have gotten it before the game.
It's coming, right?
Well, I mean, for the tablets.
Yeah, I thought you said.
Yeah, as soon as we figure out which Android tablet is going to be the.
So it's not really coming, huh?
It's going to eventually. On a more serious note, can't the greatest coach in the game teach the defense how to tackle properly? It's just maddening to watch Devin McCourty's incredibly feeble attempts at tackle. All right, so he had that one play. He's a good tackle.
I think I always call him our run stuffing corner. I think he's a pretty good tackler.
Yeah, I
he is.
There's no way, and we mentioned it, you know, not for this game, but you know, in one of the past games, that wow, the tackling does look better this year as a whole, and I think it does.
Well, I think that they have more guys around the ball.
Yeah.
And that's why
that helps,
I think
sure.
They probably miss as many tackles as they always have. But instead of that guy shaking off a tackle and getting 10 yards, it's shaking off a tackle and going down a yard later.
Yep. So I let's not go totally
overboard.
I
think McCourty's a good tackle. I mean, that was a terrible play. I mean, no sugarcoating that.
It was one where you got it. No, you got it. You know, I think McCourty thought the play was going to be made, and next thing you know, the guy's hurtling over him, and he just wasn't ready to make a tackle. And that's wrong. You shouldn't assume that. He should be assuming that he's the guy that needs to make the tackle.
Right, because that mentality is the one that gives the extra hit, knocks a ball loose. Assuming one guy's going to do it is the sort of antithesis of what you want in terms of being a swarming defense.
Right.
But his tackling is well down his list of problems that he needs to fix.
Sean also says, and Sean's in Vancouver, by the way, what's going on with Razai Dowling? He was on the field but didn't make any noticeable plays, good or bad, on Sunday night. Moore and Cole played more in the fourth quarter.
He didn't play very much.
Yeah, he didn't play much. And
he didn't play at all in the previous game against Arizona. And if he played five plays Sunday night, I think that's a lot. I don't know the numbers, but
all appearances,
he didn't play a lot.
He's really moved.
Speaking of
chart.
Who played when, you know, we saw Trevor Scott come in the second half a little bit, and I was thinking back to preseason where that's all he would come in. He'd come in the second half and make, you know, look okay against the Jags, and you know, we were saying, you know, so big deal. That doesn't bode well for Trevor Scott, but now I'm thinking maybe they knew, beginning with training camp, that this is how we're going to use this guy. He's going to come in the second half when the offensive line maybe is a little tired and we start rotating our D-line with fresh legs to take advantage of that. And so we might as well use him second half now in preseason as well. Maybe that's what Trevor Scott's going to be. And that explains why they never used him in the first half in preseason. Just a thought.
Yeah, I don't really buy it.
Okay. All right. Paul's not buying it either.
No, he's just chewing.
No, because you'd want to see him come in against good players.
I know.
Even though you're going to put him in the second half, it's more important to see him go up against the players he's going to have to beat in the second half of regular season games.
So then, forgetting about Trevor Scott for a second, just as a theory, you know, if you were a head coach, assuming that, you know, most offensive lines don't rotate, the five guys are out there for the whole game, is that the time to start rotating your defensive line? Because you might be able to take advantage of, you know, guys being tired a little bit, especially early in the season.
Depends what you think in the drop-off in talent in your group.
Right.
I tend to think it's pretty severe. And I don't want to be rotating Chandler Jones off the field. I think there's a serious drop-off from Chandler Jones to the rest.
But
now,
what if
and
it's
I don't think you make
Jermaine
it up.
Cunningham from Rob Ninkovich?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I've told you that. I'm all for anybody rotating in for Ninkovich. I think he is not locked down, I play every snap on defense, I'm the left defensive end. I don't think he's done that. So, yeah, I'd be rotating. I'm all for Cunningham maybe getting some more snaps. Scott, I'm not as in love with. You talked about it. I haven't seen him earn reps dating all the way back to the beginning of training camp, preseason, anything. I have not seen him, other than that one flash against the Jags, as you put it, I haven't seen him earn anything.
Yeah.
And Jake Beckett can't even...
He
doesn't even feel like he's an
active
option. Right. It doesn't even feel like he's an option that we should even talk about because he can't get active.
Yeah, we kind of forgot about Jake Beckett in the preseason. We thought because he can do that one specific thing, they might use him for that and he might be able to contribute earlier as a rookie, but he's not active.
Nope.
So are we to say then that Jermaine Cunningham and Trevor Scott beat him out? You know, they're just better than him.
Well, they're better options for the whole package, playing special teams and being a reserve rusher and interior rusher in terms of Cunningham and that.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to make the determination. Strictly that one skill of lining up and getting to the quarterback, maybe there's an argument to be made. But Andy's right. I mean, clearly they think Cunningham and Scott give you more things that can help a team, and that's why they're active.
And I would agree. I mean, we haven't seen – well, maybe Scott and Cunningham would be kind of – I mean, Scott and Beckett might be competitive. We haven't seen Beckett do anything either. He actually – wasn't he the guy that flashed in that same quarter, fourth quarter that Scott flashed? So at least Cunningham has done stuff this summer. We've been wowed by him
on practice
field.
Cunningham was a much better player in the
summer.
Wowed
by him in the preseason. You know, flashed. Those other two guys have not really flashed.
By the way, the reason why he travels on our bus, I guess he just wants to be the first one off the bus. So he travels on our bus and sits up front so he can be the first one off and get his bag. And get.
Have we discussed that he travels on your bus? You might want to clarify that.
Why wouldn't he just sit at the front of another bus?
Because I guess there's some type of
hierarchy
there, and, you know, I don't know if it's assigned seating, but...
Well, we know Bill sits in one of them, I'm assuming, security, and then Bill. And
yeah, but maybe there's other coaches on the other buses. I just always assume that all the coaches run...
Yeah, so people know we take four buses, five if there's marketing, but normally four buses. All the support staff, like us, you know, Jags, are on bus four. All the players are on bus one through three, but the last few games, Jermaine Cunningham's been on bus four.
You almost never get a player on our bus.
Ever.
And when they do, they usually... And turn around and get off.
Right, yeah.
They realize they're on the wrong bus and they turn
around. But he's been on our bus. And, like, not just, you know, from the airport. On every trip.
Every leg.
Yeah, every leg. He's with us.
So maybe there is, like, some administrators, you know, coaches.
Yeah, but why does he need to be first off?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just something.
Don't they have assigned seats, too?
There might be.
Oh, I didn't know. Do they have assigned seats?
Either officially or unofficially. I'm pretty sure they all sat in the same spot.
On the plane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think there's a sign.
Oh, on the plane. Yeah,
yeah. No. So it's not like he wants to be off first so he can run up the ramp and get the best seat on the plane.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So unless he's claustrophobic, and if that's the case, why do you want to rush to get in a plane?
Right.
Well, you know, like Silverman. Our team photographer, David Silverman, is definitely one of those guys that needs to be first at the next stop. And now he sits next
to like
kindred
Jermaine Cunningham. Wouldn't that be funny if this like relationship developed and you see the little Jewish cameraman in the pink? That'd be good.
They're speed walking in the mall together.
Yeah, David is a...
what are you doing after? You got meeting? Okay, we'll meet after meeting.
Right? David is a mile a minute. I mean, he can't sit still.
Oh,
he has to be going
you see him,
at
you
all
go,
time.
Meow.
Yeah.
We would walk.
He would sit still when he's taking pictures. Then he wouldn't be blurry.
When Andy and I would travel, and we all used to go out to dinner together on the Saturday night before the game, and often the photographers would come with us, and we'd walk somewhere, and David would get there a good 5 minutes before
he'd put our name
else.
In. Get
put
us
the
a
name
table.
In. He'd have the table ready.
I got here. This is no joke. For the game on, you know, for the Ravens game, we get here Saturday. We leave Saturday for a Sunday game. I get here probably 3 hours before the bus was going to, you know, we had to get on the bus because they had some work to do in the office.
He was already here.
His bag was already down in the lobby.
I sent, by the
cuckoo.
Way.
Cuckoo!
Yeah.
I sent an email to Eric on Sunday to try to get something in notes. It's just, you know, a work-related thing. And I said, hey, how's Freddie doing, you know, with your surgery and stuff? And this was like 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. I don't know. I haven't seen him since we've been here.
Right.
What is that?
Yeah.
Does he just shun you on the road?
No, no one talks to me anymore on the road.
Oh.
See, you guys are gone, and I don't have anyone to play with. I don't.
All my friends are gone.
I'm on my own. You know, like, no one says, hey, what are you doing? They just don't like me.
What do the photographers do?
Those two, I don't know. They're off.
Okay, so maybe it's not them. They don't want to play with you.
It's you.
Maybe you don't want to play with them.
No, but you know, I actually had a dinner engagement with somebody in Baltimore, and then my plan was go to bed early and rest because I did just have surgery.
Well, I told you not to go.
No, I was fine.
Paul was going to go.
I just needed to rest. I just needed
to rest. So Eric didn't even, like, offer to carry your bag for you?
Oh, no.
What a douche.
No. And I tell you, it was a little hard. I couldn't put it over my shoulder. I had a...
I was being serious. I would think someone would just say...
I had a hernia.
You need me to carry that for you? And it's not like it's a big deal. We get on and off the bus. It's like 50 feet in any direction.
I wasn't looking for sympathy, you know.
I'm saying the common courtesy of just saying, you want me to carry your bag for you?
Yeah.
Douche.
Can you imagine how many people would have had to carry Gil's stuff?
Well, Mark would have had it all.
Right.
He's been carrying his bags for years. I just want to point out, that's something you can only get here. Now, you know that Jermaine Cunningham, for whatever reason, rides with the, what'd you call everybody's?
The staff bus.
Slappy support staff, right. And has a thing where he wants to get off first. It's the right. only place you'll know that.
Probably shouldn't have told.
Well, once you said it, I was like,
I think it's pretty innocuous.
No, I know, yeah. But you said, now I know why Jermaine Cunningham rides with us. And I was thinking, I don't think we've discussed Jermaine Cunningham riding with you.
I'll tell you how this ends. Now, it's probably a team fine.
Right.
You know, Bill's going to fine Jermaine Cunningham for not being on one of the first three buses. How'd you find out? Yeah, I was listening to PFW.
Right, so now he's pissed at us.
Right.
All right. There was a time when we all rode together. There was no bus four. Everybody, you just picked the bus. And we had a guy who was an intern. And the reason he got the job was because he was Bledsoe's best man at Bledsoe's wedding. And Bledsoe asked Jonathan, can you hire him as an intern? So we did. And this was the guy who felt that he was going to come in and make his mark and be everybody's best friend, including Bill Parcells. And so he decided one day on the bus, he's going to sit next to Bill on the bus. So he gets on there. He sits where Bill sits. Parcells looks at him, goes, you know, move. So he moves over one seat and he's like, get out. You know, it's like I knew that was coming, you know.
That's okay.
And I
wish I had those balls sometimes.
Shortly after that, the bus four thing started.
Oh, that started with Parcells?
Yeah. At late in Parcells' reign, I believe. Yeah.
Well, because bus one was going to New York. He knew bus one wasn't coming back to Foxborough, so you couldn't be on it.
And I've told the whole Bill Walsh story.
Right. Yeah. That's well told. We should probably talk about the Patriots now, not just you.
Yeah. So, yeah, Parcells said, you know, Belichick, Charlie, Romeo, you guys on bus one. Curtis Martin, you get in the back. You know,
everybody else.
Rest of you guys, two, three, and four.
Don't go to Foxborough.
Well, that's why. I mean, that's how one of the reasons I know that Curtis Martin was the real deal, because he would sit on the bus and just read the Bible the whole trip.
How do you know he didn't have like a comic book inside?
Because I was right next to him, and I saw.
Did you ever discuss it?
No. You know, no interest. Now, if you're going to watch Star Wars movies, then let's talk.
The reason I think Andy asked you is because he wanted to know if you had shared some of your Star Wars theories with him relating to the Bible.
Yeah, I think I would probably get a weird look if I did that.
Yeah, you probably would have offended
Pretty
me.
Sure.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chester's in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Chester.
Uh-oh, we're 1-2.
Well
going
done.
On, guys? How you doing?
Good.
You know, Freddie, I hope you're feeling better, by the way. You know, I love the caption on the paper, but I got to say that's got to be a good plan B for next time around. I don't know if we're 1-3 is going to work, but, you know, listen, Mario Williams, I'm a little concerned. You know, last time I called, my whole life got shut off on me, and I was getting my daughter from kindergarten, but, you know, I don't know if you remember from last week.
Yes.
That being said, you know, I know we still have some issues with the offensive line, although we made some strides. You know, we got to get Brady in the position that we had Mr. Flacco in last week, and you know, just get him some time to breathe. It was nice to see him tucking a little bit. You guys like seeing that?
Loved it. I loved everything I saw from Tom Brady last week in terms of finally acknowledging, okay, I got to run here and take advantage of it. But also, just I thought he moved around with confidence and with a plan and a purpose more so than chicken with his head cut off, just trying to avoid anybody in all directions.
Yeah, during the course of the game, Chester, I looked at Andy probably at least two times, maybe three times. And said last week that was a sack.
Vintage Brady as opposed to scaredy cat Brady.
And, you know, as much as we don't know what's going on, sometimes, you know, our observations are. And they see the same thing in film and say,
oh, I'm sure
Tom,
that Tom looked
you
at
have
that.
To, you have to just take what's
there. I learned that in the Football Life Bill Belichick when he turned to his son and said, here, take some notes what we need to work on.
Yeah.
Tackling.
Third down.
Red zone. And it wasn't like this intricate stuff. It was
red zone,
Captain
not
Obvious.
You're right.
So there's no doubt.
Yeah. You see the symphony starting to work there, you know, and you start with the linebackers. By the way, speaking of Manamanui, he had a nice little block on Lewis there. You know, I know they made a comment. You know, we just need to find more opportunities to keep those linebackers at bay a little bit. You know, I'm really concerned about Mario Williams this week. I know he had a little bit of a breakout last week with a sack and a half. What are you guys thinking he's going to bring to the table here? And is this going to prompt Bolden to come in a little bit, do a little bit of blocking, a little bit of short yardage? That's what I'm thinking.
Well,
okay, thanks,
I think
Chester.
There's a better chance it would be Gronkowski is spending more time on your right defensive offensive end.
Right.
Because, as you know, we talked about yesterday, Williams isn't the traditional superstar. He's the left defensive end. So you need maybe Gronk and Vollmer. I know his production isn't there, and everybody wants to make him out to be kind of a career disappointment, and he's not worth $100 million, and he's only got 1.5 sacks. He scares me. He's a big, fast, great athlete, and he's going up against our right tackle, who, first of all, has had some back issues, and who knows where he is in terms of fluidity, and I think it's a challenge. Until I see him fail to have an impact, I feel like he's a guy you think could have an impact.
You know, Chester mentioned a block that Manawa Nui had on
I love how we all just dropped the beginning of his name.
Yeah. 47. Did you see the one that Gronkowski had on Ray Lewis in the middle of the field? Just bowled him over, and Lewis is sitting on his ass like, you know, with his hands up in the air to the ref, like, you can't do that to me. Did you see
that? And
we
needed it. I don't recall seeing it.
Oh, my God. He steamrolled Ray Lewis.
It was clean?
Well, I think
because I feel like we need there was no penalty on the play.
Yeah, I don't.
Ray Lewis was simply
overpowered. I don't remember if it was a running play or not. I think it probably wasn't clean because he was dropping back to pass.
Yeah,
it was beyond 5
yards.
That's
the big thing.
Then it certainly wasn't.
Right.
You just described a play that's illegal.
Right.
If it was within 5, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't think. I think it was beyond 5.
Oh, I think I saw that.
They showed it.
Yeah. I did see. Yes, it was a pass play. Yes, it was a pass play.
Right. And Ray Lewis is sitting on his butt like, what?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Because you can't do that. Although, I kind of wish you could.
Yeah.
I still wish for the league where, like, it really is just who's bigger, stronger, faster. If I can bowl you over, you go over. But if I'm the DB and I can knock you on your ass, that's legal too.
I just loved seeing Gronkowski do that to Ray Lewis. It was awesome.
And I'm sure he did too. Like, I'm sure that's one of those plays where he and his brother's like, yeah, I knocked Ray Lewis on his ass.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Who was he saying? I missed the very end of Chester's call.
Bolden. He wanted Bolden to block.
Okay, Bolden.
I don't know why.
No, I heard your answer, and that's fine. I didn't know who the guy we were discussing was.
Steve's in Arlington, Virginia. He says he was at the Ravens game. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Fred. How you doing?
Good.
I'll tell you what. That place was fired up the other night.
It really was. It was sustained noise.
And that BS chant was pretty funny after they didn't like that call. But I've been to several games at Gillette Stadium, and I've never heard anything like that. How was it the first week or our first home game? Did it get loud there on third downs?
Not like you saw Sunday night, I wouldn't think. It's hard for us sometimes. We're inside. Kevin's outside on the field. You know, he gets a better feel for how loud it is.
He's not at these games to compare.
No, that's true. But I'll tell you this, on the Arizona game, prolonged boos in both of the both halves of that game, and you know, I didn't hear that from the Ravens. You know, as badly as Baltimore played at the beginning of the game,
it was a little bit of booing at the end of the first half.
At the end of the first half, or the end of the first quarter,
maybe at the first quarter, smattering of boos.
There
but
was
not a lot.
There
not
was booing. You're right.
Yeah.
In Baltimore, you weren't even there. You
no.
Were
I thought you.
No,
meant,
no.
There was tons of booing in Arizona game.
Yeah.
No, in Baltimore, there was just a little bit. But I think, Steve, you know, I think you're right. And I was talking about with this to someone here that's been here for a long time. The Foxborough crowd can get loud at times. Their problem is they don't sustain it.
And they're a playoff crowd nowadays. It's almost like they know that these regular season games are important, but it's almost like wake us when it's really important.
Exactly.
Like, I thought the Denver playoff game last year, the night game here, that was pretty wild. That was a pretty raucous crowd.
You're right.
And I've been one that's been pretty critical of the crowd here. I think they sort of save it for the special occasions.
Right. And for, I think, Baltimore, that was a special occasion.
And that was. Yeah. And I'm not making fun of Baltimore for being Yahoos. You're right. That was a big game for them. And I think if that game were here last Sunday night, I think it would have been a pretty loud crowd, too. Maybe not as loud as it was there.
It's a sustained noise that we need to work on here in Foxborough. It's not.
And through thick and thin, I think if we had fallen behind 13-0 in a big game, it would have been church mouse.
Oh, yeah. Right. It might have been booze. Right.
And I think that Baltimore, I think, stayed with that game the other night.
Yep.
Oh, they certainly did. They were there from beginning to end. It's only in Boston you get booed after you just came back from the Super Bowl in your first home game. I found that kind of funny.
Yeah.
From my vantage point, I was in the end zone corner. I couldn't tell how often we blitzed, but I'd like to get your opinion on whether or not we should be blitzing more often. I just feel like our defense is subpar, so why not take a chance and blitz and just see what happens? But I'd like to hear Andy's football expertise on this one.
Oh, okay. All right, Steve. Thanks for the insult. Not Mullikin.
Well, I would like to see them blitz a little more. And, Paul, I did some research and was looking at, I believe, both Reese and Bedard for their breakdowns. And some of the times I was talking about, they had, according to their film review, as Mayo was man up with the back two or three times and the back didn't release. And when you're in coverage like that, that's what you're told to do. If he's going to stay in, then you rush him. Make him work for – don't just allow him to be a free blocker back there. And some of those times where I was thinking it was a blitz was actually just him reacting to that. But I would like to see more. More aggression, more games, more – you know, we talked about maybe Chandler Jones can be moved around because he's clearly your best guy. Maybe you try to, you know, have the offensive line lose him a little bit.
See if he can get a matchup that he's going to win.
Right. Yeah. So I'd like to see a little more up there because I do think you're a little bit limited in the personnel you have. So when you're limited, the problem is, as we always talk about, it's you're limited in the back end too. Most teams that blitz have confidence in their back end. This team doesn't have a blitz, which makes the back end worse, but they can't blitz because the back end is worse.
It's a catch 22. Yeah.
So,
and I agree. I think they just need to take a few more chances. That's all.
And I would argue that in a game like Baltimore. I don't think they need to take chances against the Bills because I think you're going to win that game no matter what.
Yeah.
And if you take chances, you give the Bills a chance to win that game. So it's going to be, you know, kind of evaluating the games you're in and when you need to take chances. Because you don't want to take chances that make you lose. You want to take chances that give you a chance to win.
I think that's a great point, and I think it's a distinction. You know, you have to know when you dial it up. I think that there are different games, and I'm with Fred. I always like aggressive defense. I like watching that. I feel like when I get beat, at least I feel like I did. You know, I did all I could.
But it's not fun to watch if it sucks.
Listen.
For example, my guy James Sanders.
Sucky defense.
You could send him all you wanted. And he was going to run into the fullback and just stand there. That's not fun to watch. You know, the idea of being aggressive isn't fun if the guys can't execute it even close. If, you know, they have to put some pressure on the quarterback.
I hear you.
And I think the other night, some of it didn't matter with those, you know, I'm dropping back and I'm throwing it right. And you're not going to get to Joe Flacco when he's doing, that's a timing play. He's just getting rid of it. Now, that's not going to happen every week.
Kevin in Maine writes in, great show as always today. I was excited yesterday. Listening to the podcast, Fred was about to read my email three times, but Paul kept interrupting. Seriously, would like to get your take on a few things. One, Ridley. It is my feeling they...
Oh, timeout, real quick.
Yeah.
Ridley had a full one-piece, head-to-toe, red... The only thing I can describe it as is pajamas.
Who's interrupting your email now, Paul?
No, but this was...
Please don't turn into Curtis Enos.
It was... and I saw it first...
What's his name? Who? The guy from the Redskins.
Oh, Clinton Portis?
No,
Penn State running back.
No, but this wasn't a costume.
Is that who that is?
Clinton Portis went to Miami.
This is what he was wearing.
Curtis Enos.
This is not
a
costume.
Yes.
This is not like, he had personalities. He had a different guy do his Wednesday news. This is what he wore to work today.
I told him it took an awful lot of security to wear that.
Did it have feet? Feeties?
No.
I don't think it was feeties.
I did too. I thought it was like what Ron Borges wears, those like velour two-piece. And it was ugly. Don't get me wrong. I thought, wow, he's wearing that. And then when I saw it looks like it should have the old like hatch on the back for crapping.
Right.
Like it's a pajama gram
or literally, Vince Wilfork was talking and everybody in the locker room at the time was at Vince Wilfork's locker. There were no other players. So here comes Ridley. He comes.
Paul was on the logo right in the middle.
And I walk up because I actually wanted to talk to Ridley about a story about the offense, closing out games. And he comes to me with this ungodly outfit on. I go, is that one piece? And he goes, yeah. I go, that's an awful lot of security, Steven. Yeah. And he walked into the trainer's room.
Nothing,
I didn't even get to talk to him after that.
I mean, it was nothing that anyone over the age of 8 should be wearing, and certainly not a man over the age of 8.
Will is 7, and he has one pair of pajamas like that, and I hate when he wears them because I think he's too old for them.
Yeah, I don't think Jackson has them anymore. I mean, that's what you wear when you're like, you're like 4,
wow.
5.
Was there a design on it or anything?
No. Just, yeah. I didn't see anything. I mean, was there a logo on like the top?
Like Transformers or Ninja Turtles?
Underoos.
Right,
I didn't see
it
one.
It was just a lot of red.
That's funny.
It was, and he's shown... You know, even with the little faux hawk, and
right,
he's got the hat kind of bent up.
Yep.
He has a unique style all his own.
Yeah, we've had a few. Larry Wiggum was a guy
I
in
love
the past
it.
That
I,
had his own style.
As they should. It makes it entertaining, interesting.
Yeah. Kevin in Maine, I'll continue.
Wait, I want to say. Just kidding.
Ridley says, he says about Ridley, it's my feeling they still do not trust him in big situations like the end of the Cardinals game and last game. You agree with that?
Paul, you want to poo-poo that?
I don't know about the Arizona game, but I wish that they had sort of turned it over to Ridley a little bit more.
So he could have 10 carries for 5 yards instead of 5 for 3 or whatever you said he had?
No, listen to me. because the irony of this is you actually agree with me. I don't know why it has to be Woodhead all the time in those spread hurry-up formations. I think that Ridley should be able to do that stuff.
Me too.
And it seems like, to use the emailer's point, they don't trust him.
See, I don't think it's a trust thing. I think
experience.
It's
experience. They're not comfortable with him yet.
But also, this is what he does. And this is what he
does. Yeah, that's stupid then.
Well, I agree.
I don't think they do.
Generally call them stupid.
Andy and I are trying to,
I think it's
PFW
a trust,
here.
I think it is a trust and experience thing, not just this guy does this and this guy does that.
Maybe, but I think they have, if I'm not going to put Woodhead on the field for this, then why is he on the team? And I think they want him on the team, and they think they need to divvy carries and touches and hits.
You need a certain number of running backs because guys get hurt.
No, I know, but he's not really a backup. He's a role. He's on this team for a role, in my opinion.
Two, can you explain to me why the final field goal in Baltimore was not reviewed? I thought all scoring plays were reviewed.
Not that.
There's a rule that if the field goal goes above the uprights, it is not reviewable.
And it's a great rule because no one can see that.
Right.
But the guy that's right under it.
Right.
As we said, this is getting caught up in this scandal where you don't trust the guy who's under the upright because he's the only guy who has the good view. Not Vince Wilfork, not the fan who's 30 rows deep and, five rows off to the side, not Bill Belichick, not the camera in the middle of the goalpost. There's only one position that can look straight up and see it.
And you can say, well, then why between? Because then there's a perspective.
Right.
Then you have something to judge it against. But when it's just above the air, unless you have those XY coordinate cameras, there's no perspective to say, okay, the ball, this is where the ball was exactly when it passed over. You can't. There's no perspective, so there's no way that a film would do you any better than the guy standing underneath
right.
the upright.
Now, unless you go to, I don't know where the technology is, but like the K zone on the Red Sox, where it can give you the height and the
right.
way it crosses, and I don't know how valid
that's
that
part
is.
Of the technology.
It looks good on TV, but is it real?
And that's the thing with those balls and strikes. I question those.
Me too.
They're not accurate. They're not 100% accurate. I shouldn't say that.
But where
accurate.
Is the technology? Would it be accurate enough for a bigger ball in a bigger area?
They even have that thing that they don't show you. It's called Quistec, I think.
Yeah.
That even that is not considered 100% accurate.
Right.
But I don't know. Where do you guys fall on the whole, it's a game played by humans. There should be some human element. Do you not look at it? Do you feel like if it's
just something like that?
Do you feel like if it should be officiated?
It's either good or it isn't. There's no.
I get that.
But you're always going to have that.
My point is, there's a larger point than the field goal, Fred.
No, I think you try to, in terms of officiating, you try to get it as close to perfect as possible.
So you would be in favor if you
yes.
if you could somehow officiate the game. See, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Not surprised.
The human error.
I know you guys aren't surprised about
this. No, but the human error in football is the guy can drop it.
Right.
No, I'm saying the human error is.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm talking about.
Brandon Lloyd can be wide open and it hits his hands and bounces off his hands. That's
right.
human error.
Yeah. Right.
I hate the argument. I brought it up because I wanted to see how you guys felt about it. I hate the argument of. Well, it's a human error in the officials. They're human, too. Well, I don't care.
Right. It's the same thing to me.
I don't care that they're human.
These referees are judges. It's no different than in a court of law. Ideally, you would never want a jury or a judge to be wrong.
Right.
Of course they are because they're humans. But you don't want that.
If you could have a system.
Right.
But if you could have a system that eliminated the possibility
right.
of an error,
yeah,
you'd do it.
Of a guilty guy going free or a innocent man going to jail, you'd always want
a reasonable and reliable solution.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you had 100% ability to eliminate,
but I'm also saying
a false imprisonment, you would want it.
If it's $100 million, is it worth it?
If it was 100%,
yes. Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree.
Now
with that.
For the NFL officiating, probably not.
Wait, what are we talking about?
In real life, and
in
judge
real life,
and jury.
No.
I was asking if it's going to cost $100 million. For the NFL to do
each
this
each year or one-time fee.
Well, that might be
one time.
That might
then
be
yes.
a little. No, Fred, $100 million. That might be a little
they
extravagant.
They make $9 billion.
But you keep saying they make $9 billion, and you're spending their money a lot of different ways. Just give them a pension. Just give them this. Just do that.
Listen to me.
Now all of a sudden it's down to $6.2 billion.
They got their pensions until 16, right?
Listen, $100 million to know that there's never going to be a wrong call again. That is so worth it.
No. Whoa. I didn't eliminate all wrong calls. I'm saying eliminating the field goal wrong call.
Oh, no. No.
There's no thing you could do that would eliminate all
wrong
calls.
I thought Paul was talking about all calls.
Yeah, I'm a little bit larger scale, like the human. You know, you hear that argument all the time. Well, there's an element of human error. Some people don't like replay. Because, well, you know, it's game played by human. I agree. It's ludicrous, especially with the amount of mistakes these bozos make. And the real bozos make, too.
But $100 million to eliminate all bad calls forever?
That I would do. Yeah. I was saying if you can eliminate field goals.
Any of the other games except for the Patriots.
Would you do it for the field goals?
No.
If you could say there would never be a questionable field goal again for $100 million.
No.
All scoring plays. We could fix all scoring plays
Come
for $100 million.
No.
All of them. All plays, period. If you could eliminate bad calls, then
but
you would
what
do
does
it.
That mean? Did you eliminate holds? Did you eliminate pass interference?
You found out a way to eliminate.
Well, those are judgment calls, though. You can't eliminate them.
That's what I'm saying, but you found some way.
It's a
hypothetical.
It's a stupid.
I'm not big on hypotheticals.
It's a fantasy hypothetical that can't exist.
Yeah.
I do have one quick question.
I'm not done with Kevin.
Well, we'll get back to him in a minute.
Is this the same guy that we keep interrupting?
You brought up the pensions to 2016. What does that mean?
I don't know.
They're going to still fund.
I just read the Twitter.
They're going to continue funding the pensions the same way they are now up to 2016.
And then
so
do those guys have to then quit to get them?
No, after that.
Yeah, you're going to have like mass retirements in 2016.
It just goes into escrow and it keeps earning interest and all that.
They're not going to fund them anymore. And everybody else has to go to a 401k.
I thought the way a pension worked was I signed up and they said your pension is. You know, 78% of your average last 3 years' salary, that's your pension.
But it's all depending on how many years you've worked, too.
No, but my question is what Paul said. If a guy is vested right now in his pension, is there going to be a fallout from this in 2016 when or is he still going to get his full pension?
He's going to get his full pension, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's irrelevant of whether he retires that year, whether
Absolutely.
They stop funding.
Right.
So they essentially got what I said. The guys that have pensions now are sort of grandfathered into their pension, and moving forward, you're going to be a 401k.
Right. Now the guy that's, you know, officiating now after 2016, his pension doesn't get funded anymore, so it doesn't grow. It doesn't grow.
But maybe I don't know what pensions. I thought a pension was you get it. Like, I thought the teacher's pension was if you work 20 years and retire or 25 years and retire, you get the 80% of your last 3 years is paid to you. That's your salary. That's your pension moving forward.
I think they all work differently.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I thought that's what a pension was a set figure that you are paid.
Oh, it is.
Annually.
I don't think they're always based on your last 3 years.
No. I'm not saying the specifics of that, but. Whatever these guys signed up for, they signed up for a pension that was a finite figure. Not if the stock market does X, you'll get X. It was
correct.
You are going to be paid whatever we agree on now, $40,000, $100,000,
$10,000.
And isn't that generally
– that's correct.
In the very basic of terms, isn't that generally why a pension is better than a 401k?
Right.
No doubt.
It's essentially a salary for life.
Oh, listen.
Or an annuity.
Listen, you know, gone are the days with pensions where and gone are the days with cradle-to-grave jobs where you graduate from college, you get a job with GM, and you retire at 62.
Right.
Those days are gone, and those were the days when you had pensions.
Right, but I don't want to argue any of that. I just want to know if the guy that's already vested is guaranteed his pension for life.
I believe he is. That
So they've been grandfathered in, essentially.
Yeah.
And anyone who gets vested in the next four years.
But the point is that amount would have been bigger if he still kept officiating and they still kept funding it.
Right, because that's my 85% of your last 3 years, whatever. But he's going to get a pension.
Oh, yeah.
And a big one.
Oh, yeah. They'll...
Whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever
So the
was.
Only ones that are screwed is...
Guys who come in late.
So there could be actually a guy that comes in like this year. He'll get 4 years of pension. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a small amount.
Right.
And then he'll have to put into
and
a 401k.
And then the risk is now on him.
Right. So they kind of got what I said they should get. Grandfathered. If you're in the system, you're going to get your pension.
Yeah.
If you're not, you're not.
Yep.
That's perfectly fair, logical, and it shouldn't have cost 3 weeks.
Well, that's a lot of people said exactly what you said. I can't understand, now that we know the agreement, why this took so long.
Because the players, I mean, the refs gave in on the
taxi squad, basically.
So why did this take so long?
It's the question that a lot of people
are asking.
But
here's the thing.
I need to get on the air now with Commissioner Goodell, who's live. Why did this take so long?
At least one of those things, obviously, the other side didn't agree to until now. Now, I don't know.
No, but it seems like they finished with fairness. It's not like anybody won. I feel like it was fair to ask them.
It seems to me like the refs won.
See, I don't. I think you got grandfathered in, and that's what reasonable men should have said.
We don't know really what was going on before the agreement, like where it started. Where we know where it ended. We don't know where it started.
I thought, I got to be honest with you, I thought that the owners were sort of hell-bent on breaking the union.
Me too. And they didn't.
And they didn't. That's why I think the refs won.
But I'm just talking about reasonable.
And I think
looked from afar
Monday,
and said,
oh, I don't think they got
it's
killed.
Reasonable to have a taxi squad. It's reasonable to be held accountable.
But the NFL is paying for that taxi squad, too.
Well, I assumed they would.
It's not coming out of the refs' side. I think that was another part of it.
I didn't understand that.
Again,
either.
Being a reasonable man,
right.
They should pay for
right.
it. The Patriots pay their taxi
squad. It's like
squad.
Major League Baseball paying for the farm system.
No, it'd be like Tom Brady having to pay to keep some jag on the practice squad. No, you want the guy on the practice squad, you pay him.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Just a reasonable bystander. It seems like these all came out with reason. You grandfathered into your pension, but it's going to 401k just like the rest of the world. You are going to be held accountable. There's a taxi squad, you know, and you're getting a nice raise.
Well, but again, this might be one of the things that gets lost in all this. Before I remember the refs kind of arguing this, that the league wants these extra guys. And they're saying that we're still going to get this raise, but if we get these extra guys, it means less for each guy. So maybe what the league was proposing up to now was, no, we've got a pool of money.
That is what they were proposing.
That's ridiculous.
Right.
But that's what I'm saying. Reason won out in the end.
Right.
Tom Brady doesn't have to pay to keep Brian Hoyer on the practice squad. But Bill Belichick has to pay because he is the one who is benefited by Brian Hoyer, not Tom Brady.
You think that's reasonable. And I think that's reasonable. And I think Fred thinks it's reasonable. But obviously the owners didn't. They wanted to get this. And after the debacle Monday night, they now said,
no, but the players.
We got to give them some concessions here. We got to get these guys back.
No, but the refs also wanted their pensions to continue not for 4 years, but for perpetuity.
Right.
So they lost on something, too. This seems like it worked out with a normal negotiation.
The refs were always dead set on perpetuity. We don't know that.
Right. The refs had said they would take the grandfather thing. They got the grandfather thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I think the refs won. I think the refs got everything they wanted.
I think reason won out in the end.
I totally agree with you.
And the refs may have been more reasonable, so maybe that's why I feel it, but it looks like everything played out how a normal negotiation, one side's here, one side's here, and the middle's here.
Now, there was another condition that the league would be able to hire full-time guys at some point.
Yes. They
So that might be a concession
as
well.
That's reasonable. I'm not forcing somebody who has a good gig as a lawyer that he must quit that and become full-time, but I can hire other guys that want to be full-time to full-time.
But if I'm one of those part-time guys, I will, once they start doing that, feel like it's only a matter of time before this guy starts getting the good gigs and
To me,
because they make so much extra money in the playoffs and all this stuff.
Right, but they're doing what they should do. A lot of these guys are old. So some of these issues that you think may phase in over 10 or 12, 15 years are going to do exactly what they should. They're going to put things back to where it would seem more reasonable. You're not making everybody go full-time.
And now you're arguing the NFL side where, we have to start thinking about the future.
Right.
These guys are going to be fine, but they're only thinking about themselves. We have to think about the future.
But that's my point, is it seems like reason won out in the end. That
it
was a reasonable.
I would agree with your.
I mean, in hockey, where you have to wear a face mask unless your grandfather did. All these things that happen over time, and all of a sudden you're down to the last player who doesn't have a face mask.
Right.
And now over time we've made it so everybody has a face mask.
Right.
Like, that's reasonable.
Yeah. It's reasonable. It's unreasonable not to wear a face mask.
But why did it take an unreasonable amount of time and/or uproar to get to reason?
A lot of people are asking that question.
Yeah. That's why the NFL
I think Paul's right, because they were trying to break him, and Goodell was trying to be big balls, Raj.
And I think that's why they're getting the heat.
Can you imagine?
Do you see a lot of criticism of the officials in this?
No, they love them right now.
I haven't seen that.
No.
Now, they're adored right now because the replacements were so bad.
We'll see after tomorrow night if there's a questionable call.
But that's a performance thing. I'm talking about the labor strife.
Right.
I think that most people were sympathetic to the referees because they didn't think, like, to use your word, what the referees were doing was unreasonable. They did feel like the owners, as Fred continues to say, this $9 billion entity was asking for some unreasonable things. Which amounted to, in a lot of cases, kind of pennies in comparison. So I think you're right. To use the word reasonable, I think the resolution was very reasonable. But clearly not what the NFL wanted.
Can you imagine after the Monday night game, if the first game after that
is in Green Bay with replacement officials. That would have
That's
been
another good point.
That
I
would
didn't
have
even
been
think of that.
Unbelievable.
The team that, you know, discussed on their plane,
right,
kneeling
taking a
or
knee.
Whatever.
Can you imagine if they did that?
Oh,
what would you do?
Oh, I mean, talk
Look,
about
if you're
walking
the ref,
on
you
eggshells.
Just come in, shh, blowing the whistle.
But I mean, right, do you really do that for 3 hours?
I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Like,
and what
do
you
what
do?
On, do, you
what,
do?
What do you think they would have done on defense? Just sat there and like,
let them score.
You know, they just run by and go for a touchdown.
Yeah. And do you allow that to go
load
on
up.
For a full?
Load right. up on the Saints fantasy guys.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that's what you are avoiding. As much as people think this was a joke and a debacle, it could have gotten
oh,
worse.
Yeah.
It could have been a joke and a debacle.
More of a joke. Now you think it was just you know run of the mill weeks 1 to 3 in the NFL.
Will you shut up. The king of exaggeration.
It will be interesting how long this honeymoon lasts and what type of scrutiny the real guys get from now on.
Well, it'll last in 32 cities till their team gets screwed.
Right. Yeah.
That's how long it'll last.
Right.
But, you know,
but knowing
going forward,
the difference
what kind
is,
of scrutiny? Will like, for example, Pro Football Talk or
no.
other people have like a running thing on
no.
bad calls?
No. No way.
You don't think so?
No, no way. They never did it before.
Well,
no,
did you
but,
see
but
the,
now things are different.
Did you see the John Lynch thing? That he said they
yeah.
were duped into being nice because
yes.
they were told that we're going to get this done, so don't go too hard on this. Will be done very, very soon.
Right, beginning of the
and
season.
And he felt duped.
Yeah,
that they were told not to criticize him because they're going to be gone before
right.
you really
be easy
know.
On
it.
These
I feel
guys.
Bad for John Lynch because he's the only one who would adhere to it. And I'm being dead serious because
well,
I've
yeah.
never seen the amount of criticism
it got worse
from
and
announcers.
Worse. Yeah.
It did get worse. You're
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
But from the opening. From opening night,
yeah.
they were not treated with kid gloves,
no.
those guys.
It was the low-hanging
I feel bad
fruit.
For John Lynch.
Yeah.
He's the
yeah.
only one that's, okay, I'm kind of new here. I've only been around a couple of years. I don't want to create any waves.
I felt bad for him when he was out on this field and he tried to make a cut and fell
down. I felt bad for Fred.
Kevin, let's finish up Kevin's email. finally, he says, what's up with Edelman's hand?
Don't know.
We haven't seen him.
We haven't seen him.
We'll and find out. Whatever will be by later. We'll see.
Quick over under. Hernandez returns in 4 weeks.
Under.
Under.
Four weeks from today.
From now?
Yeah.
I'm going to say under.
What game is that? Like,
I think he'll be out 4 weeks from the time of the injury. So
he's already missed one.
He
so
missed one. This will be two. I think he's going to miss two more after
so
this.
So he missed Baltimore. He's going to miss Buffalo and Denver, Paul says, and will play at Seattle. Long flight across the country. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Buffalo,
Denver.
Denver, Seattle. Seattle's the fourth game.
Oh, you think he's going to miss three more now?
Right. I think he missed four. I think he misses four altogether.
So they return for the Jets here.
Right? Is that right? Did I mess that up?
Yeah. Baltimore, Buffalo, Denver, Seattle. Okay.
Okay. Then it's Jets at home.
And then a long flight
then
across
London.
The pond.
That's when you have to make a decision there.
I think he'll be playing before you make a decision.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chris with a TIAN is on the line. Hey, Chris.
Suck it.
Tim?
Pipe down, Andy Hart, blow a fart index, will you?
Good job.
Andy Hart, blow a fart. What are we in, like the fourth grade? Nice.
Pretty much. Well, this is the level he reduces me to, so I really don't have a story.
Christian, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Saugus, and I moved to Revere when I was about 14.
All right. Right around my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I'm right by that Everett area. Yes, sir.
We're all the same. Go ahead.
Yes, pretty
go
much.
Go ahead.
You guys had mentioned yesterday about the goalposts and about using GPS.
Yep. Yeah, Andy brought that up.
And the accuracy. Andy, you brought, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the land surveyors, is their equipment up to par yet?
No.
Oh.
in my experience with it, I use a traditional, what's called a level survey, which is just a manual you know, to get ground surface elevations. And in my experience, the new GPS on is accurate. There was one instance where they were like 6 inches off.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can't have that. If you're 6 inches off, that's the difference between right and wrong.
Right.
Big time.
Yeah.
Right.
And when you're doing what I do and when you're, you know, surveying streets and buildings and stuff, you know, a fraction of an inch off is a problem.
Those,
so,
those bridges that don't connect in the middle.
Yeah.
Son of
know,
a bitch. That was 6 inches?
Well, when you try to meet two rail lines, one 6 inches lower than the other one, that's a problem.
That's a bumpy train ride on the
Acela. Just put a sign on the side, say bump ahead. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have it to within an inch to really be, you know, plus or minus an inch would have to be at least.
You can't even do that.
Well, there's going to be some error. So there's, I think an inch would be close or under an inch is close enough. So you could say it's better than the eyeball test. It's not perfect, but it's better than the eyeball.
No, and then you get into that whole thing, like you said, about how high is too high and the wind and shifting stuff around and all that.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just, like I said, my experience. I don't think it's quite there yet.
Well, the tennis has the eagle eye, which, you know, does the lines now.
And that's unbelievable. I don't know if you don't ever watch tennis.
I see it occasionally.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Really?
Yep.
So you want that?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'll tell you, if they could do something the same way, couldn't you see the upright extended, and then they would have the ball go, and they would see, is there space in between the upright and the ball?
Right.
I think you would. I don't know how you would do it. I don't know what the technology is like.
I mean, the yellow line is never
official.
They use
lasers and all that.
But this is official in tennis, though.
No, I know, but it's tennis. No one cares. No one's going to notice if it's wrong. This is the NFL.
But I don't think it's wrong. I think this is one of those things that's 100%. They're only allowed a certain amount. Like, I think they're allowed two challenges per set or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
I think there would be more mistakes if you saw it in the NFL because I think people would notice more. There'd be more high.
Yeah. I mean, but how many times are we questioning a field goal? It's like once or twice a season?
It's not too often.
I remember we had one. I don't want to get to that. The guy called one good and it was no good, or the other way around in that game.
Right. Well, they've had some that have been wrong when it actually passed inside or outside the upright. So human error is a big error sometimes.
Yeah.
The one guy looked at the other guy and he called it. And he goes, I thought it was good, but he said it was no good.
So you're always, yeah, but clearly the technology's not there yet. That's the bottom line.
Not yet, but I think it'll eventually get there like everything else does.
But we don't have to worry about it anymore, Christian, because Ed Hockley's here to save the day.
Right.
Hercules Hockley, back in the saddle. Can't wait.
Hurt.
All right. Thanks, Christian, for the call.
And trending on Twitter, he was very excited about that, even though he didn't know what it meant.
What exactly does that mean?
You know he knows what it means. It's Bill Belichick.
He didn't have the mic on, so he had to explain what it meant. See, what happens when you're trending on Twitter, we'll use the regular timing rules.
Jonas in Durham says...
There was no foul on the play. It was not a hold. The defender was just overpowered.
Oh, it's great to have that back.
That's the best one ever.
As an economist, says Jonas, I thought I could provide a little insight into the mess we've seen in the NFL the last few weeks. If you told me a year ago that the league would suddenly have a whole new squad of officials, I'd have imagined that things would mostly be fine. It does seem sometimes as if the regular officials are overpaid. That said... The lesson of this season has been that what they demand is apparently the cost of quality officiating. My discipline teaches that workers earn the value of their marginal product, and while it is not always that simple, this does hold when both parties to the negotiation have roughly equal bargaining power. So either the officials really are that good and deserve the pay they get, or they hold more leverage than the league thought. Since the league scraped the dregs of the labor market to get these replacements, we will never know which it is. Thanks for letting me share my views. Right.
That's a very good point. I think they probably are worth what they're getting paid. But I think the last part of that is very accurate. It's not a true apples-to-apples comparison because they weren't able to get suitable replacements. They had to go to what he said, you know, the dregs of what was available.
Yep. So...
I have no doubt if they took a crew of ACC and SEC and Big Ten officials and gave them a month to prepare for the season that they could have been a lot better than those replacements were.
Brian says there is a time when a pension isn't guaranteed, and it's obviously when a company goes bankrupt, like Enron.
You can't get blood from a stone.
Or if you work for the Boston Herald, and you know, I don't get those pension letters that I used to get all the time before.
He says a pension,
or if your pension is called Social Security, and the politicians are going to take it away from you.
A pension is generally only better when you're like me in a government employee because there are bylaws that make it practically impossible to claim bankruptcy.
That's ridiculous.
So,
yeah, we were talking about the Herald pension yesterday, you know, because the three of us, Felger, Maz, and myself. I'm like, Tony goes, you still get those letters? And I don't. And Felger doesn't. He goes, geez, I should probably update. I'm like three addresses away from. I should probably update that. Like, no one knows. Like, where did this money go? Are we still entitled to it?
I don't think Felger needs it.
Tony goes, I don't think there's any chance we're going to see those.
Mike from Pepperell, lost in the Hernandez injury was the player who fell on him, causing the injury. Unintentional, of course, but if Welker is on the field, does it even happen?
I've heard that a lot, and I've chuckled.
Too bad, as Hernandez was going to be the centerpiece of the offense. I was fortunate to get to see him during three of the open practices. I don't recall seeing him drop a pass. I didn't notice, but was Ebner on the punt team versus the Ravens?
No.
No.
Yeah.
He was replaced by Tracy White, I believe.
Yeah, it was a linebacker.
I think it was
definitely
Tracy
a linebacker.
White.
Interesting.
Not really. When you give up a block,
no, that's what I mean.
Usually
it's, again, another thing where an observation that the media or us made turned out to be true.
But that one was pretty simple. I mean,
yeah. Vishon from New York, to think we almost beat the Ravens without Hernandez shows that come playoff time, when he's hopefully healthy, we'll be able to put them away.
Sure.
Yeah, but we lost this game. It's true, but they didn't have Terrell Suggs.
And they probably won't.
Oh, you don't think he's coming back?
I don't.
I don't know.
Okay.
I find it hard to believe.
It was funny because we were talking to a member of the Patriots staff who was amazed by, I guess he was like on the sideline, just jumping up and down. And I don't know what they do. And I understand that these guys are elite athletes that get the absolute top flight level care 24 hours a day. But what has it been? I mean, 4 months, 5 months since he had surgery?
And the other thing I'll say is Thomas came back really fast last year, but it was still a long time. Didn't he hurt his at the end of the previous season? And then he was ready to, quote-unquote, kind of start the next season. That's a long time. That's a calendar. I mean, that's 10 calendar months or something there, as opposed to...
More like 7 or 8, I think, for this one.
Yeah. I just have... And even if he's back, I definitely don't think he'll be good. I don't think he'll be an impact guy.
Okay. Mike Wright sends us a video of the Gronkowski block on Ray Lewis, so we'll look at that later. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
And let's go to the phones. Jerry's in California. Hey, Jerry.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Just a different opinion on this field goal post and technology and all that type of stuff. I know a previous caller said he didn't think the technology is there. I would beg to differ. The technology is actually, it's extremely simple. It's not a big deal at all to determine if the ball went between the goalposts. Believe me, if we can drop the Mars lander within a few feet of where it is on Mars, where we want it to be, we can certainly tell if a ball, if a football goes between the goalposts. And like I said, the technology is not particularly hard.
The question, though, is at what cost?
Right. How much did that Mars lander's cost?
How much would the technology cost, and would the NFL think it's worth doing in all the stadiums?
Let me just back up for a second. All it takes is a high-speed camera, which is not very expensive, sitting behind the goalpost, and a computer with a relatively simple program analyzing that image to tell exactly where the ball came from, the exact exact path that it was going, and all that type stuff, exactly where it would have hit the goalpost. All that is super simple, and it's very accurate. And not only is it accurate, but if you put the exact same program, the exact same hardware at all the goalposts, it's exactly the same, whether it was accurate or not. And believe me, it would be accurate, but it would be exactly consistent, exactly the same.
I tend to agree with you, Jerry, and thanks for the call. We had an email from a professor emeritus from MIT yesterday that said, if you guys are interested in actually knowing whether or not that kick was good, I can help you out. And he said all it would take would be watching video with a time, you know, having a time sequence, knowing the time. Like, so the kick happened here, and this is where it ended. He said those are the only two things he needs. Then he drops it in this program, and he could tell you what if the ball, you know, was good or not. So,
and I buy.
So why don't we do it?
I said if
we're not
all,
paying,
right? I said if all it requires on our part is you watching some video, okay,
go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more interested in Jerry's solution of a high speed camera. To me. And I'm not doubting these guys are brilliant, you know, MIT. I mean, it's at a level that I'll never even pretend to be at, but I'm not necessarily buying the watching the video and then calculating the
right
trajectory and all that stuff. I am buying Jerry's high-speed cameras and whatnot, because now you're actually watching it live. You're not watching a video of
right
something that happened. You're seeing it. To me, there's a difference there.
Yeah, I'm actually not buying any of it because I think it – you know, they do this on the Home Run Derby. Oh, that one was 478 feet.
Right.
And that one, can you do it down to the inch? You can't tell me it's close. You need to, because it's fine for a Home Run Derby. That's funny. He hit it 480 feet. Wow. There's not a game changing on that.
Right.
This is a game changing on an inch.
And what they can't possibly tell you is because of the shape of the ball and because the goalpost is round, they can't tell you, well, the ball would have hit here,
right,
and this is the direction it would have spun
that's
on.
That's
right
kind of what I'm talking about with the video, watching
but
the
I
video
feel
the and
same
the time
about,
elapsed and stuff
right
like that.
I feel the same about both. I don't see how a camera
so
there
just
would
extend
change
the freaking
yes
pulse.
I think the best solution is the simplest. Yeah. And cheapest. Because
right.
I also think 32 times whatever it costs to have all this in every city, or I mean, I guess you could have 16 and have it travel to the, but still.
Right.
I don't think that's going to be cheap. I mean, I don't think it's that easy.
I even thinking about, like, why can't they make the goalposts, you know, put hinges in them and have them bend? You know, like you store them. So it's not just like this one post that's so high up. You have it in like pieces.
But then,
so it's a little bit, so it's straighter.
Every one you put in, it
secure.
Could add to the flexibility. You know, you'd have to judge
Well, they
that.
All have to be made exactly the same
way. Oh, yeah.
Way. Yeah.
Like they are now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all
well,
the same.
The other
now.
Question is, why are they round? Why not make them square so when they hit it, they bounce off? Right?
Yeah.
Make it a square. I mean, the same width or whatever, 4 inches by 4 inches, but make it a block.
I can't believe how much we've talked about the goalposts over the last three
days.
It's
unbelievable. Louis
well, we don't have a game to talk about because there's no game on Sunday, Paul. I don't know if you knew.
Right.
There's not going to be there's no
competition.
There's
a game, but there's no contest.
Right. It's right. So, I mean, talking about 56-3 and how they're going to get to that score isn't all that entertaining.
Louis in Chicago. Are you being sarcastic?
No.
A little bit.
Because I actually think they're going to blow them out because I see the venom in some of these players and the piss and vinegar, as you put it. And I think that's coming from the head coach. I think this was a miserable week in
Nuts
Foxborough.
Nuts and bolts, we were screwed.
And I don't know about screwed is we lost two in a row, a-holes. We're not going to let it become a third. And I think that starts with Bill Belichick. And I think these players have been beaten into, you know, they're going to react. You know how they beat racehorses to make them run faster?
Yeah.
This racehorse is about to sprint for the finish, and the Bills are the finish line.
Right. Louis in Chicago, I have what I think is the answer to why Bill doesn't blitz anymore. I heard Dilfer said that Belichick was well known for his all-out blitzes. Is that true? No, I don't think so.
I don't recall it.
Yeah.
I don't remember him. I mean, he used to blitz more, but I don't think he's ever.
Because he was better.
I did something no Pats
not
fan.
Not all out.
Like, I did something no Pats fan would ever do. I went back and watched the last drive of Super Bowl 42. Belichick blitzed on every play with 5 or 6. And on the Tyree play, he didn't blitz. After that, the only time he blitzed was the touchdown play. Point is, I feel that Belichick might be scared because he couldn't get to Manning with 5-plus rushers.
Yeah, I mean, those are two different things. Rushing 5 or 6 is not all-out blitz. Now, I think that they need to rush 5 or 6 a little bit more often. I think that Fred and I talked about that earlier. But the all-out blitz is what I'm talking about with the end of that Baltimore game. We see Rex Ryan do it a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, you're sending basically everybody single covered all by themselves, and everybody else, whoever's not covering a receiver, is going after the quarterback. And I don't see the Patriots. I don't really ever recall, other than a true desperation time, I don't really recall the Patriots doing that very much.
And if he was so beaten into submission, now don't get me wrong, I know that game was a major game, but wouldn't he also be getting beaten to submission by the fact that every game when he doesn't blitz, he gets killed defensively, and sooner or later they say, well, if I'm going to get killed, I might as well blitz.
That's why I like the aggressive thing. Like, and I know it. You're right. Like, if you're sending blitzes and you're not getting there, that's not going to make you feel much better than not sending blitzes and getting picked apart. But to me,
and if you're doing it against Jake Locker, a game you think you should win, and you're giving them more, that's even worse. You're not getting there, and you're giving a jag team an ability to beat you.
I just would rather force Joe Flacco to pick up a blitz and have somebody make a block and have him make a throw than sit there and take my chances that Joe Flacco can't sit there and find somebody and complete the pass.
But now that gets back to my thing. I'm not even sure he was looking for anybody. I think he was looking for a spot down the right sideline where he was just throwing
it up. I know,
it up.
Flacco sucks.
No, who says there's only one person on the planet Earth and he's a complete effing moron, and that's Mike Felger, who thinks.
Are you reffing kidding me?
That's the only guy I've ever heard who thinks Flacco is a flat out stiff. I mean, everybody else says he's a middling quarterback. He's trying to reach that next level. Felger's the only guy who thinks he's a stiff.
Louis says, love the show. F the Giants, F Eli, F them twice, and 3 Jets, too. F the Jets. Always F the Jets.
That's a lot of effing.
Yeah.
No reffing, but.
A lot of people emailing in about goalposts.
It's a good topic because it's relatively simple. Like, you can discuss it. It's not like you need to know a lot to say, why don't they make it taller? Why don't they make it square?
Right.
That was me. I was
Anthony from Toronto writes in, hasn't written in a while. He says, I'd just like to point out what Gronk does to the Bills. He's had 7 touchdowns against them in 4 games. So everyone that's worrying about Gronk, I for sure wouldn't. You'd think that Belichick would realize that Gronk spikes the Bills every time he faces them. I am going all the way with Fred this week, predicting a score of 42-10. Gronk having his first 100-yard game, adding 2 touchdowns. Keep it up and go, Pats.
Well, the one flaw in that is if Mario Williams or Mark Anderson is a major issue, Gronk's not going to have a lot of chances to spike it.
Patrick in Duluth says, I have to say that I'm neither overconfident nor concerned about this week's game with the Bills. I guess I'm more curious to learn if the Patriots start to hammer out their identity moving forward. They should beat Buffalo this week, but I'm sure in the Buffalo locker room, they're seeing this game as a great opportunity, catching us at their home field before we get on a roll and with the chance to make a statement of their own. I know our team is pissed, but I hope they're focused as well and better at execution. If not, we may end up getting burned. Again, I'm curious. This will be a good first opportunity for us to show how we respond like champions to adversity that we haven't seen in years. I think we'll do it. I'm just not as sure as most are.
Because I'm curious. There's no question the Bills should be amped up for this. They've kind of had the Patriots circled all offseason with all their little comments, we belong in the same sentence, and I'm big bad buddy Nick, so I don't fear anybody. I certainly don't fear the Patriots. You know, so they've made this a measuring stick game for them long before anybody was 2-1 or 1-2 or anything to deal with that.
Eric's here.
Speaking of curious.
He just came from practice.
Try not to move your mic too much because you almost moved me off my chair.
Eric, what do you got
I
to
literally
tell us?
Almost jumped off my chair. That was such a weird and loud noise.
I'm officially concerned now.
About Logan Mankins?
Yep. Uh-oh. He's not out there again.
And according to Twitter here.
What?
Kellen Winslow?
Yeah. But I mean,
how will we ever replace that one?
Right. I mean, I was trying to just stick with the really most important news of the day and no Mankins.
Plus, Winslow's a soldier.
Soldier boy.
He admits he's in pain a lot, but he says he always plays. So I won't worry about him until he doesn't play.
Yeah, he was not there. Edelman was not there.
Was Brady there?
Yes, he was.
Did he leave shortly after you did?
Not that I saw.
Did you walk down backwards back into the building? So you
I see you, Tom. You're looking about. You're thinking of coming this way?
And Justin Francis continues to be absent. Brandon Dedrick returned, which is good news for him and his ankle.
Justin
which have been bothering
Francis
him?
Has really lucked out keeping that belt because, you know, since they've lost 2 weeks, they can't give the belt to somebody else, and he's been hurt, so he couldn't win the belt, and he's kind of lucked out there. See, I find
the
silver
five,
lining in everything.
Same five as yesterday plus Winslow, is that accurate?
Same five, yes. Subtract Dedrick and add Winslow, so you have five again.
Oh, I have Dedrick as being out according to this.
No, Dedrick was there.
Yes Mankins plays on Sunday.
Yes.
I have to see him at practice tomorrow. If he's not there tomorrow, then no.
Right. He plays.
So you're saying if he's not there tomorrow...
He doesn't play.
I'm saying even if he's not there tomorrow, he plays.
Really?
Yep.
Because?
He's Logan Mankins. Frickin' Mankins.
Okay.
Yep.
And did you see him last week? He was filled with piss and vinegar, as Fred likes
to say.
I
did.
Yeah. I say he plays and probably starts a fight or two.
It does say Dedrick returns. You are correct on that. I wanted to see if we had another mishap on the Twitter...
From your boy Jeff Howe?
Yeah, but so, he does say returns.
So you did not see Kellen Winslow?
Correct.
See, it's weird because if he were here
all summer...
Because
he was in the locker room earlier.
But if he were here all summer, I'd say, well, the guy's got bad knees. Maybe he's just taking this day off and, you know, he'll be back or he'll be out there and some whatever. But maybe he was so limited last week, he's clearly not up to speed.
Maybe the reason he didn't sign with any team sooner was because his condition is, I don't practice on Thursdays.
Well, guess what? I know, according to the Globe, we make all these side deals with veterans as when they show up and do what we want, but we don't. So he wouldn't be here if that was a condition.
If that's true, it's a good thing Hernandez.
He also
like
did practice last Thursday, so that doesn't really kind of wash. But
maybe
he was in the locker room today.
I only practice on Thursdays every other week after I sign.
Okay. They may be then.
Soldier.
Full pads. Fourth one of the year for those of you keeping track. Right.
No one here is, so stop.
I said at home. You're not at home. You're at work.
I know no one at home is either.
You'd be surprised.
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
So there we go. We got to see all of stretching today, Fred.
Ooh.
Nice. That must have been exciting.
Sure.
I gotta tell you, I think those goalposts are crooked. I think the Patriots got screwed. I think they were listing a little to the left. And if they had actually been upright, if the guys with the ropes had come out and fixed them, it would have been no question a good field goal. Oh, wait, no, they didn't get screwed then. Forget it.
They're asking Jay Feely, Brady's best man.
Well. All right. So
Brett couldn't come up with a good one there. He had one. You could tell it was going.
No press conferences today, Eric?
There were no press conferences. Well, Roger Goodell had one, but I didn't listen in on it.
Yeah. I wanted to ask a question like via phone in the back or something. Mm-hmm. Why did it take so long if everybody just compromised in the end?
Yeah. These things go on way too long, and the result is what people expected all along. I don't get it.
I said to Paul, reason won in the end. The pensions were essentially grandfathered.
Right.
They're going to move forward without pensions.
Yep.
The crew was allowed to have a taxi squad. That's reasonable.
Yep.
The referee should be held accountable.
Yes, they should.
And they got some sort of a raise. I mean, it ended where a negotiation you would think would end, in the middle somewhere.
Which took all of, what, 30 seconds
right.
for us to...
Right.
I mean,
the only thing is, and I agree totally with what Andy said, just to keep, get you up to speed.
The only thing is, Paul didn't think they needed the old ones back because they're no different than the new ones.
Does this happen if Monday night doesn't happen? I personally think no. I think the NFL would have continued to dig its heels in and try to break the union. I think Monday night was,
could have been.
To them, they said, we are now getting international attention as being lacking integrity.
Well, I'm not sure.
And they can't handle that.
And our next game is in Green Bay.
Well, I'm not sure the attention was as big as, we have players actually considering mutiny. I think that's way bigger than the attention.
I don't think they care that in Sweden
it says, I get effed by the NFL
refs. No. I'm talking about...
T.J. Lang said, just so you know, we talked about on the plane back taking a knee every play.
The attention is that the integrity of the game is at risk. That's the attention, not the attention itself.
Yeah, no, I think it was about
and I think that's
players reaching the point
about.
Where they're going to boycott. They're going to mutiny. They're going to say whatever.
And I'm not so sure that this would have... They were talking. And all of a sudden, Tuesday, it just flipped.
And don't disregard...
And I know they're going to tell us, it played a role, but... You know,
in Goodell's whole fear of the lawsuit thing, that statement they put out the other day that basically said... We're considering whatever, you know, every option in terms of these are not safe working conditions.
Right.
You know, it's funny.
Now, if you can file a lawsuit like that, whether you win or lose, the NFL does not want that lawsuit filed.
Yeah.
Right. At what point? How many of these lawsuits are enough for them?
Right. I think that was as
unveiled, a veiled threat as you could have.
That might be the best thing D. Smith did for the players the whole time, because I don't think he handled the lockout
right.
that well.
And it was clearly, that note was not to the players.
No,
it was to the league.
If he wanted to send a note to the players, he would send an email that went to all players.
Exactly.
That was sent out as a press release
that was
supposedly a note to the players.
Right.
That was sent to us for a reason.
Not so veiled.
Yeah.
Any and every... I think he said any and every...
Any and every, like, court...
Means
of
something.
Yeah.
Available or something.
He basically
like
said, we're going to sue your ass.
Yeah. All right.
It's no problem. Just, you know, breaking into legalese. We're going to sue your ass.
It's time for the picks because it's Thursday.
Whoa. It's not 155 yet.
Yeah.
That's when we start when you're
Fred
not
really
here.
Doesn't know how it works.
He also hasn't made a pick in like a month.
141.
I have things to do.
He also hasn't pissed John Rook off by going 15 minutes into his show.
I don't know why that makes John mad. He has to do less of a show, taking his work.
All right. Really tough week, Freddie, last
an
week.
Artist.
Really tough week for everybody. Andy, Eric, and I all tied at 7-9.
Ooh.
So that's a bad
week. This is not our fault. We're picking games that are on the up and up, not games that are officiated by these yahoos.
Freddie, you were 0-1.
Okay. All right.
Can you figure out the game that you lost?
Patriots!
Okay, with the spread, things were even worse, especially for me. Andy and Eric went 6-9-1.
I won!
And Paul went 3-12-1.
I am the winner.
Fred won the week, however, by going 1-0.
All right.
So the season
standings. Paul pulls a Fred right there.
He was so proud of himself, he adjusted in his chair.
That was my Fred Kirsch adjusting in the chair. For the season, I am still in the lead at 29-21.
He still does the standings in his notebook.
Eric is 20. Oh, look at that. Have a mistake already.
See my point.
What? What'd you do? Did you screw up my score?
No, I'm sorry. I'm 29-19. Eric is 27-21. Andy's 24-24. Good job by you. 15-5 for Fred.
He's got a very good winning percentage.
Yes, he does.
With the spread.
Which is weird with the Patriots at 1-2.
Yeah.
Fred leads that, too, with the spread. He's 13-6-1.
Wow.
Let's see. Eric is 22-24-2. Paul, 21-25-2. Andy, 20-26-2.
All right, well, I'm back in the game this week, and let's start off with tonight. Cleveland travels to Baltimore. Baltimore on a short week.
Baltimore by 12.
That is a big number
coming
off a big game, an emotional letdown. They're going to win this football game, so put me down for a Ravens win. But that number, their run defense isn't as good. I kind of like Whedon. I'm taking the number.
I don't like Whedon. The Ravens are at home, and yes, they won an emotional game against New England. I think they're going to win by 14 to 17 points.
I am with Andy. I think this is an upset special waiting to happen. This is the epitome of a trap. They've just got off the field about 12 hours ago. I think Baltimore will win.
Douche.
But I think Cleveland will cover, and I would not be surprised if Cleveland wins outright.
Yeah,
for
a guy who says he doesn't know what sarcasm
is. I'm taking that one step further. Cleveland both ways.
Wow. The outright win for the upset.
This is a Cleveland win.
Will not be surprised if Freddie is crowing about this one.
Fred says this is a Cleveland steamer.
Oh. All right. Let's move to Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Let's jump already.
Carolina at Atlanta. Carolina at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 7, the undefeated Falcons.
The undefeated Falcons, who I'm just looking. I think there's a chance they're going to be in the running atop the Wilson-Hart Power Index when the things open next week. And they're going to stay in that running by beating up the overrated Carolina Panthers, led by the overrated Cam Newton. Oh, he's pouting on the sideline because I'm not sure if you know, that's how all these athletic quarterbacks work. They are not mature,
Eric, what do you
fundamentally
got?
Sound individuals.
I'll take the Falcons at home to win big.
All right.
Oh, I'm not going to win the MVP. Now I'm going to cry.
he's killing me in the last 5 minutes. I will agree with the boys, Atlanta, both ways.
The MVP run starts Sunday. Carolina wins outright.
You know, to be fair,
if he's going to win the MVP, he's going to have to start winning some games. I'm not sure.
Who's the MVP right now? Like, it's not like anybody's off to this great start.
I mean, maybe
Joe Flacco's probably in the running.
Matt Schaub?
Yeah, I mean, and they're not.
Matt Ryan, actually.
So, yeah.
How about somebody on defense from Arizona right now?
No chance.
No? Okay.
You can't come up with an individual and you think a defensive player is going to win the MVP.
Darnell Dawkins.
No chance.
Patrick Peterson.
Calais Campbell was the defensive player of the week against us, so I would think he would have the best chance of any of those guys.
Minnesota at Detroit.
Detroit by 4.5.
Minnesota at Detroit.
This is a tough one.
I'm going to go with
not
Detroit.
So much.
No?
I just don't have a lot of faith in the Vikings and Christian Ponder. I think he's going to get pounded by the Lions front.
Yeah, I think they had their moment last week when they upset San Francisco and they come back down to earth.
Wait a minute, is Stafford
against a talented?
Stafford's not out, is he?
I don't know.
Well, I still think Sean Hill showed me something when we went up there a couple of Thanksgivings
that Brian
ago.
Brian Baldinger was all over Sean Hill as like the greatest backup quarterback in the history of the game. I am not sold on that, and I would
imagine
like to know.
Imagine Brian Baldinger telling you, you talk to me when you're in the league 9 years.
Yeah, the nerve of some people. I've dealt with it.
No one knows. He's got the leg, obviously, and they don't know if he's going to
play. Is there
play
a spread?
Not.
Yeah, 4.5.
How can it not be? So clearly it's known. The only people who don't know are us. Vegas wouldn't have a spread if they didn't know he was playing.
And NFL.com.
Yeah, I think it would be off the board if there was a question.
Right, so I'm sticking with it, but it's not. It is known. Vegas knows he's playing, or they wouldn't have a line.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to take Detroit also. Although Minnesota, there was nothing fluky about that win last week. They outplayed San Francisco. Clearly, the Niners didn't play well, but Ponder was excellent, and I thought they made some plays, and it was an impressive win. I think Detroit will beat them at home, though.
I'll go with Detroit both ways as well.
I'm not taking the Vikings until Jordan Todman is activated.
Tennessee at Houston.
Show Never that. Taking the Vikings, are you? Houston.
Tennessee with a big 44-40 win
like
last
that?
Week, taking on division rival Houston.
Houston by 12.
Over who?
Tennessee.
Oh, I'll take Houston to win by more than 12.
Yeah, I will too. Better team at home.
Yeah, I'll make it unanimous. Although 12, that's a lot of points for a team that runs the ball as much as Houston. But I will lay the points at home.
I'm gonna take those points, but Houston wins. San Diego at Kansas City.
Pick 'em.
Oh boy, I'm just gonna pick with my heart here. I'm gonna pick with my friend Romeo. Get another win, even though it pumps up the chest of somebody else we know.
I like Matt Castle a lot, you know, as a person, but. The better team is, obviously. Any excuse to play the song. Both ways.
This is a good song, I'm not going to lie.
Did you get that, Paul?
It's queer as a $3 bill, as my grandmother would say, but it's a good song.
I'm going to go against my theory here. Two bad teams, I generally go with the home team, but I'm going to go with the road team. I think the Chargers are a little bit...
San Diego. Remember that one they played
go
that time?
Yourself, San Diego.
When we were there? They had an updated version by a hard... You don't remember that?
Hard rock
And it was like...
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
It's not as good as that.
What's the number here, Paul?
Because that song's phenomenal.
It's a pick'em.
I'll take San Diego. I'll pick San Diego.
It's a curious song.
San Francisco at the Jets. San Francisco at the Jets.
Jets are one of four home dogs this week, getting four against an angry Niners team.
Yeah, I'm going to take the angry Niners team. And
good call.
I don't like the Jets with Revis going down.
No.
I think they're going to have to transition. Everything they do on defense is going to be different now, and I'm not sure you can get that done soon enough to win what I think is a tough football game.
Especially against the team that's, like you said, they're pissed off about losing last week on the road.
Even with Revis, this is a tough spot for the Jets. And without Revis, it's
worse.
All hitting the fan.
Right. And they have a good defense against a suspect offense. Eh.
Although Joe McKnight did pick off all three quarterbacks in practice today, according to Rex, which is, quote, good and bad.
Yeah.
Our running back picked off all three of our quarterbacks.
Did you also hear him say that he had to take a shot at the Patriots? But that's why he said Vernon Davis was better than Gronk?
I saw that. And I didn't see the second part that I'd seen that he said that.
Somebody asked him, why is Vernon better than him? And he said, oh, you know, I had to take a shot at
the
Patriot.
That's right. I'm fine with that. That right there is good fun.
That's funny.
Right.
Yeah. The Niners were my pick, but I do disagree with you guys. If Revis were healthy, I think I might look at this differently because I think they could really load up the box to stop the run and have Revis back there to protect. Not having that, to me, changes the whole complexion of this game.
No question.
And
to me, it's a pick 'em with Revis.
The immediacy of it is like what Andy said. They have to do this on the fly, and the first game is probably one of their toughest tests of the whole year. It's not a good spot for the
Bears. I think McKnight was saying, Christ, Tebow never hit me in stride when I was actually a running back on that side of the ball. Now he's hitting me in stride.
Even if Revis was in, I would still be picking San Francisco because I think their defense is going to shut down Sanchez.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. The Niners are a better team. I just think that defensively the Jets would have a chance if you could just sit there and say, put eight in the box and let Revis cover, you know, even Vernon Davis.
If you could allow your front to get after Smith.
You know, Moss wouldn't do anything with Revis on the field. He never did.
I like when Paul has tone.
Except for that amazing one-handed catch in the Meadowlands. But
one catch.
Seattle at St. Louis.
Out of 10 targets. Seattle at St. Louis, plus 2.5, the Rams.
Wow.
This is a tough one for me because I got my boy, Bradford. But you know I'm reactionary, so I'm going to react and I'm going to take
Seattle.
Love
that Seattle defense.
That Seattle swarming front has swayed me. Bruce Irvin just punching guys in the chest off balance. I'm going with that swarming front.
This is a tough game. I'm going to
go with the runner. Good call.
I'm going to go with the young kid, Russell Wilson. The upset on the road.
Eric likes
they're favored by 2.5.
Oh, I thought you said the Rams were.
I said the Rams were plus 2.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Maybe
then I'll take the Seahawks in the upset.
Wanted to make sure he still wanted to lay the point.
No, I know. Yeah, I'll take Russell.
Russell Wilson's actually 42.
I am going to take the Rams here. I think Old Seattle rookie. Has a major hangover after a absolute gift of a win the other night.
No, and Russell Wilson won't let that
happen. I think the Rams win this game.
Yeah, this is one of my toughest ones this week to pick. But I'm going to go with Seattle. It's just a gut instinct. I just think emotion and momentum.
Boys, real quick.
What you got?
Sorry.
What you got?
According to Adam Schefter, Kellen Winslow has asked for and received his release from the Patriots.
Are you kidding me?
Soldier boy. Can you play that?
What?
That's just coming across now on the Twitter feed.
Asked for and received.
Yeah.
That is.
I just hate New England.
Curious.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and now that he's gone, I can say it. When we got to
soldier.
But when we got to the hotel,
you are beautiful.
When we got to the hotel last week, I was on the fifth floor, and I got off my elevator and he was sitting, and it looked like, you know how these guys look like agents. It looked like his agent. In the fifth floor lobby, and the agent's like, look, you know, we're doing everything we can.
But isn't his agent Drew Rosenhaus? Or is it not?
Well, it could have been somebody that worked for the firm.
This was in Baltimore?
In Baltimore, yeah. And he was like, wow, he doesn't seem happy. Something happened.
Well, he never looks happy.
Yeah.
But I just assumed that was him.
So now I'm just putting two and two together. Maybe it had something to do with this. I don't know. He just was in a
place. When I travel, I get a suite. I didn't see no suite.
You know? So
goes back into his Carl Poston voice.
That is
soldier.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I love the, you know, we'll forget about this in like 2 months, but these little stories that seem like big deals at the time.
Oh, yeah. And there's one so of those, many that
like,
we
5
don't know
years
about.
From now, you're going to sit there and you can say, like when Winslow was here for a week, and you're going to be like, Kellen Winslow was
here? Kellen Winslow was here? Yeah.
Right.
How many guys do you, I mean, I'm talking about not Jags that are undrafted free agents that are
Pro Bowler, son of a Hall of Famer.
But that happens all the time. Like John Lynch was on the Patriots for a couple of weeks.
Right.
I mean, like really.
Well, Fred remembers because he's got the jersey.
Right.
But if it weren't for all of the stuff that we make fun of Fred about, he's easily forgotten.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Torrey Holt.
Yeah.
What do you remember about Torrey Holt's Patriots career?
So you think it's just unhappy?
I don't know. Now I'm thinking he just didn't want to be here to begin with, but it was the paycheck. And
or what about pain-wise? Maybe he, I can't.
Does this say
maybe it's honorable. Maybe he said, I just can't do it. And you know
what?
Release
you.
Me. Right. And I don't want to hold you out for a $800,000 payday. I'm not that kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, that's a possibility.
Could be.
It's more health-related, and he just can't do it. He can't get himself out in the practice field.
And I got to tell you, if he did that, I would have
a
the
lot
utmost
respect.
Respect
a
for
lot
him.
Of respect for that. But getting full circle to where we started the show, I wonder how Aaron Hernandez feels. I wonder if maybe they're thinking, well, you know what?
Maybe we don't need him that.
Instead of 6 weeks, it's probably only going to be 3.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know.
I will say this about Hernandez. I mean, you probably already said it today.
Probably.
But he looked like he was walking a hell of a lot better today.
Well, see, now, you know, your radar goes up because, okay, maybe.
But they didn't have to release. He asked for his release.
They said. Maybe.
This is a report by Adam Schefter.
If they had just released him, then you would say,
Fred.
Oh, maybe Hernandez is feeling better. But the fact that he asked to be released, that made, you know, you don't deduce that that has something to
but
do with
it. But if he didn't ask for his release, why would Kellen Winslow allow you to say that he asked for his release?
Yeah, it makes him look better.
How?
I didn't get cut.
Okay.
Right?
I think it makes him look like a quitter unless it's the honorable thing that Andy brought
unless
up.
He's got something lined up. You know, I don't know.
He said he came here to play for Tom Brady. He found out Brady's hurt. I'm not sticking around to play with that guy.
Interesting. It's an interesting development.
Yeah, most of the time when we theorize on what we think is, we have no idea.
I disagree.
It's always something that we have no idea about.
I disagree. I think when we pose them all, we usually hit it.
I think we're stunned how many times without any information whatsoever we hit it. I'll be honest.
There's a lot of things that things happen.
Kind of like
we
2009
have no idea.
When we, you know, and Andy and I spent the whole season telling you, all you got to do is take away Moss over the top, clamp down on Welker. They can't run the ball. Yeah, and then 2 years later, Bill Belichick comes out with a documentary and says it word for word.
All right, so now we move to the 4 o'clock games, and if the envelope seems a little light this week, it is. Teams are starting their bye. So,
they had to get this thing done because for competitive balance, it's not fair that bye week started when the officials were fake.
Oh, bye week. I didn't think about that, but.
So he answers questions before they're asked.
What? Sounds like somebody else
playing the role of Paul.
Because I saw that posed by, I believe, Bert Breer, that they got this done under
the
deadline.
I think a lot of had to do with what happened this weekend. I mean, I think it was going to get done, obviously, at some point, but I think it definitely quickened the pace.
I hear you.
The whole weekend, I think. I mean, people are saying it's all about the Seattle game, but I think it was the stuff leading up to that, too, especially our game.
Our game.
Paul didn't notice anything that seemed any
different. Oh, I did, but I think there were bad calls in those games. There was an incorrect procedure done in
there was that. There was the whole scene post game with Bill running across the field with Harbaugh at the end of the game, with Shanahan in the game earlier.
All right, let's all talk now at once.
On Monday, all of the analysis Monday was showing all the bad calls at all the different games all during the week. Tuesday, it was one play that was incorrectly handled by an officiating staff and incorrectly handed a win to another team. That was, to me, that was the breaking point to me. It was a call that was incorrectly done that ultimately, and we all said it. How many times did someone say, this will get done, one team's going to lose a game because of these officials, and that's when it's going to end, and that's exactly what happened.
See, I don't agree with that, because I think if everything else had been perfect, or normal, sorry, I don't want to use perfect, Paul, if everything else had been normal in the first 3 weeks, they would say, the same thing happened when Vinny Testaverde dove on the goal line. The same thing happened when he rolled out. I mean,
no, but
games change hands incorrectly every year.
But here's the thing. It's not about a call that changed hands. The procedure was incorrectly performed. The guy didn't go and have the conversation. They went right to the booth.
Yeah.
They messed it up. If that Vinny Testaverde play had happened with replay and they didn't go to the replay, that's what this would be.
Yeah.
I think they didn't have replay then.
Culmination.
We
got to
hurry through the 4 o'clock games quickly. Miami at Arizona. Miami
Cardinals by 6.5.
Arizona by 6.5.
Cardinals both ways.
I will take Arizona to win. Miami to cover.
I'm going to take Arizona both ways. They continue to roll. Oakland.
They have the MVP on their team.
Oakland.
Fred doesn't know who it is.
Oakland at Denver.
Denver by 6.5.
Andre Carter could sway the competitive balance in this game, but I'm going to stick with Denver for now.
I will take Denver to win. But you know what? Give me the points. I think Oakland will keep it close.
So is it the last two people that have won 93 here are now Raiders or somebody else? Somebody else.
Seymour was
90. Somebody else must have worn it between Seymour and Carter.
Can't
right?
remember.
I like Denver big in this
Paul
game.
Paul doesn't care.
I'm going to take Oakland. Oakland.
To be honest with you, no one popped on the top of my head, so I said,
Oakland both ways in this game.
Whoa, Oakland both ways?
Yes. Oakland both ways. Yep. I'm sorry, I wrote down Denver. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot who was the quarterback for Denver.
Cincinnati at Jacksonville. Jacksonville
is getting 2.5 at home. They are underdogs at home.
I will take Cincinnati to get the job done against a bad Jags team.
I agree with you, Andy. I'll take the Bengals
Thank
to
you,
win
Andy.
On the road.
I'm glad to hear
How
that.
About this Bengals offense so far? They're putting up a lot of points for a team that last year was sort of close to the vest, low scoring, relying on defense.
I think when you have a generational type receiver, you need to use said generational type receiver and make sure you're not just a Jag offense.
How about the quarterback, though? Is he
the red rifle?
Yeah, has he made some strides?
I start getting into rifles and you get offended.
We
I don't
saw
get
that,
offended by the
we,
red
we,
rifle.
That was the only game in town at 1 o'clock
I don't get
when we were in Baltimore.
I
got to,
either,
see,
by the way.
Got to see him play. It was pretty good.
You like a nice black rifle.
Oh, my. Not again.
Okay, all right.
That offends me.
Yes.
Okay. Cincinnati.
Cincinnati as well. Okay, so now we go to 425 on Sunday. These are the Fox games. New Orleans at
2 o'clock,
Green
John
Bay.
Rook upset.
New Orleans at Green Bay.
Green Bay by 7.5.
I feel bad for New Orleans a little bit at this point, but yeah, you're going to lose this. You shouldn't have lost some of the other games. You wouldn't be 0-4.
Certainly shouldn't have blown a... What, 18-point lead?
And Green Bay, not all that good right now.
No, they're not. But they're at home, and that's why I'm giving them the edge.
Right.
And the Saints go 0-4.
This battle of Super Bowl contenders who don't look like they're going to go to the Super Bowl?
I don't think New Orleans is as good as Green Bay. And that's why I think Green Bay can rebound from their bad start. I don't think New Orleans is going to, especially without a coach.
Right.
Green Bay big.
Or at least not their
interim. Green Bay as well. 425, Washington at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay by 3.
I hate Tampa, and I'm starting to hate Greg Schiano, so I'm just going to go with Washington. Although, ironically, I hate Mike Shanahan, so I'm just going to go with the Black Rifle.
I'm going to go
Andy's the little ball of hate.
I'm going to go with Robert Griffin III on the road against a Bucs team that I don't really care for all that much either.
Quick note, Deidre Hart hates RG3 based on his Subway commercials. Who's this guy, and why is he in a Subway commercial? What's he done? Kind of like when they said, he's Bob Griffin until he makes a play. What's this RG3?
Because you really have to do great things to be in a sub commercial.
That's true. You just got to lose a little weight.
You're scoffing at Deidre. That's not nice.
Well, she's fighting. That's real classy. Fighting my wife on the radio.
I agree with Andy's hate.
She
all
starts
around.
Going.
All of Andy's hate, I agree with, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay. Two bad teams at home. I'll take the home team.
I am going
to
take.
I'll go back to my rule.
I am going to take Tampa Bay as well. Sunday night, 8:20, New York Giants at Philadelphia.
Eagles by 2. And I think they just turned the ball over. I'm not sure.
What is the status of all the injuries on the New York football Giants?
I believe Knicks will play.
Seems to not to matter.
Bradshaw is still up in the air.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's easy to seem not to matter once, but can it seem not to matter?
When you're playing Carolina, it
right.
doesn't matter.
And you Jag quarterback, overrated Jag quarterback. I am going to go with the Eagles.
I set Andy up there?
Sooner or later, they're going to stop turning the ball over, and then sooner or later, they're going to start whooping ass. And this could be the game they whoop ass in a big bludgeoning of the blue.
I can't do it. I really don't believe in the Giants, Eli Manning specifically, but...
No, they're really a team.
No, I still don't believe in them.
He was talking about oversized men. He doesn't believe in Giants.
Right. I'm going to take the Giants on the road, though, because I don't have any faith at all in Michael Vick.
Eric's going to be a freelance writer someday. He's going to have to cover the Hall of Fame induction, and Eli Manning's going to be there with his seven his seven Super Bowl trophies. I'm really not a believer in Eli Manning.
So you just... It's interesting because the Manning-Roethlisberger comparison, they both have two Super Bowls.
Yes.
And they're both, like, considered elite, but the Super Bowls play a big part in them being considered elite.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you hate both of them.
Eli
hasn't stuck his...
Exactly.
Okay.
That we know of.
Roethlisberger's
okay. All right.
I'm going to take the Giants.
Stuck his nose where it doesn't belong.
I'm taking the Giants
is what you
as well.
Meant, right?
So Monday night, yeah. Chicago at
he
Dallas.
Sticks his nose in there. Doesn't he know it's something else?
Monday night,
Dallas
Chicago
by 3.5.
Dallas by 3.5 Monday night.
Chicago.
I will
three
take
times he said
Dallas. I will take John Rooks looking at his watch. Not happy. I will take Dallas. I hate Jay Cutler. I'm going to start making all my picks based on who I hate.
You're not going to have anybody to pick.
I really don't have faith in the Cowboys, even at home. I think Cutler's a better player than Romo at this point. I'm going to take the Bears on the road.
Wow. Cutler's better than Romo.
Yeah.
Eric is right.
Really?
I think Chicago wins this game. I think
Eric's right. That Cutler's better than normal.
I will be rooting for the Bears, but I think Dallas is going to win the game. All right. Well, back to Sunday at 1.
Drunk.
Way back. New England at Buffalo. I think everybody knows my pick, so let's go to Andy.
My pick is similar to Fred's pick, maybe just not quite as definitive. I think the Patriots are angry, embarrassed, and I think they have been beaten up on by Bill Belichick this week.
Patriots by four, by the way.
They're going to win this game, and they're going to win by at least 40. Four times the spread. That's 16. So this is going to be 35-10, somewhere in there. Patriots roll.
I agree. The last time they lost three in a row was in 2002 during a four-game skid. I don't see it happening this week, even though it's going to be a tough place to play, and Buffalo might keep it close in the beginning. I think eventually New England wins by 7-10.
Eric, they snapped that skid in 2002 in Buffalo.
Oh, good, Paul.
Little known
well
fact.
Well done, Paul. Little known fact there.
And they will snap this two-game skein in
all
Buffalo
right,
as well.
So we're all Buffalo. John,
but I do not think it'll be anywhere near
John
as
Rook
easy as
John Rook standing by with
does.
The playbook. Sorry to keep you waiting here, John. What's
never
what,
a problem.
What do you got going?
It's a problem.
It's a problem when you have your mic.
Well, he didn't.
No, he did.
Sorry, useless producer.
It cut, you know.
Wow. Whoa. Groundbreaking news here. Could you repeat that?
My fault, he said?
That was my fault.
I've never heard him say that, ever. Wow. Not once. That and Kellen Winslow
John, do you
was gone.
Share our enthusiasm for the Patriots this weekend?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, we all think the Patriots...
Think of this bounce back week.
Break out.
I think they're going to win one for Kellen.
Yeah, that's a little weird, huh?
Has anybody posed the what if? Like, you're not even, like, mentally able to possibly think about, but what if?
What if
these Bills, who say we belong in the same sentence,
well,
were competitive?
I asked you. You said you wouldn't be nervous until the eighth or ninth loss because the league is so bad.
Right.
And
I won't.
Said, I mean, would you be? Because I would be. I am not nervous right now, but I would be nervous if they come back from Buffalo 1-3. I'm sorry, two games behind Buffalo with a loss to Buffalo, playing the way they've been playing.
That would be.
I would
a little
be
bit
nervous.
And 1-3 at Bill Belichick's important quarter poll.
Correct. Yeah, I would be nervous about that.
Right,
I'm not going
to
lie. I don't think it's going to happen. They'll be 2-2.
All right, John. Have a good show. Remember, Football Nation is at 4:00. Stay tuned for Patriots Playbook. We'll see you next Tuesday. But in typical Royal Heart fashion, the
soldier.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.